Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The more adventurous among you may remember our previous excursions into the macabre. Our visits to haunted hills, to tinglers, and to ghosts. This time, we have even a stranger tale to unfold. Oh, ah, blood. The story of a lovable group of people who just happened to be homicidal.
Gather round, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Cannonball coming. Cannonball.
Starring Don Geronimo.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get late.
Wait up, girls, I got a salami I gotta hide.
And Mike O'Mara.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere. Former Grangekeeper now, about to become the Master's Champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Featuring Buzz Burbank.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. So what's the problem?
I don't know.
And here they are, two petty fat bastards, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Much to the chagrin of all the message board people out there. The albatross is back. Yeah. The weight around everyone's neck is back.
We'll try to get by.
I am an obnoxious bore without talent. I am a bully. I only have this job because I'm a bully. And I'm back.
The Don and Mike Show.
So,
welcome home. You know.
Hello. You know, Mike, I yelled at you. I asked Rob not to yell. I asked Rob to just mention you about the soundboard last week.
I understand.
After a while,
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Even
I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Even I sometimes think, oh, okay. Well, we got some new ones for you.
So you ever been with an old guy before?
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
There he is.
Fancy dicks you got here.
I can't control my horny level.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
So you brought new toys today.
Yeah.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
And I don't want anyone to think that I am mad at my best buddy, Rob. As a matter of fact, I brought a tape of Rob and I talking before the show today.
Oh, very good.
I've done nothing wrong. They arrest anybody they want. Jews are always playing the victim. All this time, I'm the one who's been victimized.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Mr. Carroll, shut up, please. I want to call my son.
I will undress you. You will undress me, okay?
Okay.
Man, you're very sexy. You have a boyfriend?
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Thank you.
Boy, I tell you, there's something about the way that Chris Hansen speaks. It turns me on.
Hello.
Hi there.
Okay.
Hi, Dynamite. We appreciate it.
Here's the phone number stuff.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
You're goddamn cheap.
Dan, you're very sexy. You have a boyfriend? I can't control my horny level.
This one might be the best new one.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's good, too.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Yeah.
I am not going to be treated like this anymore.
Is that new, too?
Who knows? The Dr. Phil one, he does say the same stuff.
They all run together.
Here's Big Ed.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Yeah, baby. I'm Shane Ed, and you can tell by the smell. It's is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. On this Monday, number 6, 2006. And your phone number for instant access is 877-365-3636. We're also on the internet. Go to Don and Mike website. .com, and you can click on Listen Live or right there. You can send us your voluminous fan mail. Piling up and all my fan mail, I gotta say, bags and bags of it, like Santa Claus bags.
You're not gonna have time to read it before Christmas.
No. Dear Albatross, take the rest of your life off. Dear Talentless Tool, this show is so much better without you here. You are an obnoxious boar bully. Dear Ass, why don't you let Mike talk like when you're here? And then, of course, there's the guy on Rupert's site.
Right.
He gave you an award for being Man of the Year.
See, I didn't... I was looking... When you told me about that, I was looking all over for it, and I didn't find it. I was clamoring.
Because I'm right on the front page of your big picture. It's like, Mike O'Mara, hero.
Wow.
Mike O'Mara does solo show, hero. Don, worthless. Mike, absolutely a talent that has been just thrown under the bus by Don.
It's what I've been telling my friends for years. It's nice to see, finally, that it makes the light of day.
When I'm here...
There was a picture?
Of you. The
of
one,
me?
The one from Washingtonia.
Oh, that one. The one where I'm going...
I'm paraphrasing now. Normally, on a normal show, Mike has Hispanic attacks. And
I do, and
speaks clumsily without a lot of confidence. But
oh, now wait! But, see, that's crap.
But without me here,
I think I speak with a lot of confidence.
But without me here, you were able to step up, and I read a lot of website stuff over the weekend.
Right.
And well, why not, Buzz? I don't care. I don't mind. I lay it out there. I can read it. I can take it.
Right.
All I have to say to you, Sats, is well, too bad I came to work today.
You know, I really, really wish I was able to negotiate that stuff a little better with all that great press, because I would have printed it out and and kept it in that special room I have at my house that's dedicated to me. That's a locker room, the very special, down in that special room where I tell Carla, I'm just going down for a few hours, and I just stare at it.
A lot of people writing about my enormous ego. You would have to have an enormous ego to read some of that crap.
Yeah.
To read some of what was written on message boards,
right.
I do not want Mike to succeed. I do not want Buzz to succeed. I do not want Rob to succeed. I have this job.
Well, it's a little late for that.
Simply because I am a bully, and all I want to do is smother you guys and not let you speak. And what role do I serve anyway? And my stories are boring and old. And all I am at...
Where was all of this? Where was all of this?
Mike, besides on Rupert's site, go to our fan site.
The Radio Gods Forum.
And also, the only thing I'm good for is pressing the buttons.
That was on the Radio Gods website?
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around.
Is there a way I can access that tonight when I get home?
You've been to the site.
Right after we chatted a couple of times over the weekend, and I looked that time when you called, when I spoke to you yesterday, and I saw some good, but I didn't see any of that really like incredible stuff where they were really slamming you. I didn't see that.
It's all over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is that you have to go into the negative comments? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's where my.
I hate that website. I shouldn't say that, but I just have trouble like cracking the code, the Da Vinci code that. Because what they've got forums, they've got today's input, they've got. Negotiate this, I saw some nice stuff, and then I saw some not so nice stuff.
Like, it's a surprise that Mike was able to come in and do the show, for goodness sakes, without me. You know, Mike's a pro. Mm-hmm. Shocked.
Yeah, but, let's not make a habit of it, please.
Well, now everybody wants you to, Mike.
Oh, well.
They cannot wait until I leave. Everybody thanks.
Does everybody think I'm staying? No, does the thing I'm staying after that magic number? Because I'm not really planning on it.
Yeah, hold on. Here we go. Okay.
I'm staying today. I'll stay through the show today. Yeah.
For instance, here you go. Okay, now, here's Rupert, who we all know has an axe to grind against me anyway, and he likes to divide and conquer.
Sure. Well, but he also, let's be, right now he's doing the divide and conquer 100% because he's taking plenty of shots at me.
So here we
go. He's put some stuff in there that's damaging to my mother, my doctor.
Got your picture.
Mm-hmm.
It says,
Wow! Exclamation point. This is from Friday.
I gotta see this.
Way to go, Mike!
There you go. There it is right there. See that?
See that? See yourself?
Gotta peek around the corner.
See there? See, I'm just cropped out at you.
I looked all over that website. I would have loved to see that.
Way to go, Mike!
Mm-hmm.
With his WJFK-FM partner, Don Geronimo, sidelined for 2 days by the flu, the alleged second banana, Mike O'Mara, mm-hmm. right, really kicked ass doing the show solo. In the past, with Don running the afternoon drive zoo, we've gotten the impression Mike is the occasional joke man, and a fragile one at that.
Occasional? Fragile?
Seemingly plagued by personal problems and Hispanics attack.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, one day, only a few months ago, Mike, in mid-show, drove himself to the hospital fearing a heart ailment with rapid pulse and shortness of breath. But with Don out of commission temporarily, this bundle of nerves grabbed the mic Thursday and Friday and showed his stuff, our own local version of Martin Short or Robin Williams.
Wow.
Mike exhibited a confidence and sense of humor not often seen in the shadow of his radio show headliner. Even after a telephoned-in dressing down from an obviously feverish boss at the Friday show, Mike, already a proven master impersonator, barely flinched and went straight into delivering first-rate radio comedy. Kudos, Mike. A good job. Damn good.
Thank you. Wow. I don't know how the hell I missed that. I would have read it over and over and over again and clipped it out.
That's why I'm quitting. Today?
Today is your last show.
That's it.
You're going away forever.
I'm a broken man. The internet has finally broken my back. That's it. Ouch. I can't take it anymore.
You can no longer continue.
I can't take it anymore because I realize now after reading these posts,
now you know.
Everybody's right.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, the truth's been staring me in the face. How have I kept this gig all this time?
Oh.
It's a miracle, isn't it?
It's just because I bully you guys.
Right.
I just bully you. Mike.
What?
I'm here today.
Yes,
don't
boss.
Be funny.
You're right, boss.
Mike.
No problem.
No confidence today.
No.
And I want...
Shaken, not stirred.
I want a sense of humor that's not often seen in the shadow of me, please.
Now, see, that's what he does. That's where he does the old bait and switch. You see, what he's saying is the body of work that I have been responsible for 20 years is crap. And then the only time that I came out with anything was 2 days in a row. So that's
I take that.
And, you know, it's
I wasn't here.
Game.
After
game.
I telephoned in dressing down. I didn't dress you down.
Mm-hmm. No.
I had my chat with the monkey.
Right.
But, Mike, you're already a proven master in person. You barely flinched. And you went straight into delivering first-rate radio. I don't disagree with any of this. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you people out there think I am? Do you think I'm an idiot? I am the leader of this show, but I like surrounding myself with people who are as talented, more talented than me. What guy who had a show wouldn't do that?
Right. Well, that's Rupert. That's what Rupert does. He obsesses on the show.
Well, it's on our fan site, too. And I only bring our fan site up because I got a call from my brother today about our fan site.
Oh, he's reading it.
Oh, really?
Well, there's a thread about him. That he's not thrilled about.
Really? Well, God, they tackle everything.
Wow.
I guess everybody that's on the show is fair game.
On
I guess that's the way it works.
Does Jim have trouble negotiating the site?
No, he got right in. He got right in.
Think of me.
Maybe
yes, everything's back now tonight. Okay, ass.
He got right in.
Thanks so much.
He got right in.
Thanks, and I will henceforth call you Cheeks.
Excuse me. Anyway.
Cheeks from now on.
We'll get to my brother. We'll get to that in a couple of seconds. Anyway, thank you.
That would be my advice to the people that run that site, that radio guy. You could perhaps arrange it in such a way where it was just a little more user-friendly. Thank you, Rob. It was a little easier to negotiate. I'd like to go there and kind of know what the issues of the day are. They've got general comments, negative comments. Welcome to the site. They seem to have all these little headings there, and, you know, I'd just like to see it a little bit more straightforward.
That's a good idea, Mike. Mm-hmm. I bet they go right to work on that now.
Yes, that's me saying this now. Now you can all get to work.
That's
friends.
That's good, Mike.
My friends.
I think I'll take the next 20 minutes and talk about going to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Asses. Are you asses out there?
But good, bad, ugly, we let you all hear it here.
Oh, you stupid dumb.
Welcome back. I am glad to have you back.
Yeah.
I
knew
better.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. I would have been doing cartwheels and putting my hands together and go, oh, yeah, it's another day where I have to work for a living.
No, come on. Listen,
But before
no, I mean, seriously, that's good. Before you know something, brother, one day is one thing, 2 days is another. And it's just, you know, I mean, you think about this show all the time, do you not?
Too much.
And
I came to that realization over the weekend.
No.
I really do think about it too friggin' much.
And when I am forced to do that, I don't care for it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I do not like that.
And I want to get to this stuff with my brother on the web because it bothers him.
Okay. So he actually went to the website too.
Yeah, no, he got a call from me. He said,
"Wow,
do you know anything about this?" And I said, "No, but I'd be glad to call you." So, anyway, the one thing, here's a direct order that I did give Mike over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I did call Mike last night, and I did say, "You must go see Borat before we go on the air on Monday, because it simply is the absolute funniest movie," and I'm saying Animal House and everything.
Yeah.
I cannot think of a movie that I've laughed at loud at for two entire goddamn hours to run through the litany of why this movie is funny. First off, we couldn't do on the radio.
Right. Right.
But the subtitles, the topics, the execution, the nudity, the funniest ever. Best movie freaking ever.
And the thing about it, and I've said this time and time again, there are so many sequels. There are so many rehashes of television shows.
Yep.
An original idea. Now, it's not a mockumentary is certainly not an original idea, but his mockumentary, what he does,
brilliant.
You know, in the great tradition of those, it's the best you'll ever see.
It
really is the best you'll ever see.
He goes all the way.
He commits. He stays in the character.
If you want to know, you want to lay down your $9, just wait until the scene with Pam Anderson's magazine.
Yes.
Okay? That's all.
That's a payoff right there.
Did
you get a chance to see it, Buzz?
I did. I agree. Great.
Oh, man.
Great.
It's fantastic.
It was for me, God, I don't want to say that because I didn't feel well. Shock, as you know, I didn't feel well the last couple of days of last week. Felt kind of better on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Had my son's in town. He still is in town. So my son, my girlfriend, and I decided to go to see this movie.
Right.
And I was very comfortable because I was feeling, again, not like a family unit, like Freedom Will Be Replaced, but this is very comfortable now. It's my girlfriend and my son. I were going to the movies. This is fun. And the movie was so, God damn, funny.
From the beginning. I mean, from start to
beyond
finish. Just fun. I mean, really,
every moment.
So nice to have something that doesn't disappoint, that has the payoff.
And,
you know, that movie's been hyped for so long, and I think we're all fans of the guy. And I love him on talk shows. I love him on Letterman.
But the shtick on the talk shows is not like
not even
the
close.
Movie.
No.
It's not like the movie, and the movie's not like the Ali G show.
Nope. And it's satire, which is really, yeah. I mean, it is. I know you might not think subtle, but just he lets people hang themselves. He really does, and he does so in
Amen.
Such a great way.
Amen.
And he really, kind of a picture. He has, you know,
our America.
He has favorite targets, and they're kind of located in the middle of the country.
Well, also, Mike,
the south.
Also,
in the southern middle.
Also in the grand state of Texas.
He
had a lot of success in
Texas. He did. He did indeed.
And the thing about that movie is
he's likable. I mean, even though you know this is an actor that's playing this guy, he has a likability factor, and he has, believe it or not, a vulnerability in this also, where, you know, it's just, I thought it was amazing to watch. It really was. I was looking at it like a dog with my head cocked off to the left.
This is my son, Huey Lewis.
Can you say out of context?
There are things. I was talking with Bart with Janet. This is what makes it a great movie, besides the fact that I'm still thinking about it today and how funny it is.
Oh, it's like all great comedies, you'll be able to go see it again and
one
again.
One of those movies where you think about something that happened, you laugh. You laugh.
Yeah, right.
Here's why I'm going to go back and see it. I think of a lot of the funny stuff is in the subtitles that I missed because I was laughing at what was on the screen was funny.
Yes.
A lot of times, the subtitles, which are a very important part of the plot since he's not speaking English, really make it. I mean, get his gag down and freaking punch you in the face with.
And he's fearless, and that's part of it, too. You got to be. I mean, to do what he does.
Like the bedroom
really.
Scene. that is the single funniest thing
right.
I have ever seen in my life.
And think about that, really, no matter what. You know, no matter the fact that this is a, what they call, what, a mockumentary or, you know, whatever right, they want to call it. He has to do that scene. You know they didn't do it one time.
No.
Oh, no,
they
no
couldn't
that
have
one?
Done. That was the one no. that was really, wouldn't you say that of all the scenes is really the most
that's
movie-like? So you know they had to do it a few
over,
times.
Yeah.
And he deserves an Academy Award for that and that alone.
Oh, and does he go all the way with it?
Oh, yes. God.
My God.
And some.
My God, does he go all the way with it?
Goes all the way with it to the extent where you feel like you're really there.
Yeah.
And there's a great
talk
line,
about the big screen.
There's a great line later about what his mustache smells like.
Unbelievable. And that guy, the guy that he does it with, I mean, he's got to be complimented too because he was
oh, the
hysterical.
Fat guy?
Oh, fantastic. Azamat.
They didn't even have to pixelate out his penis because all the fat hangs over
oh,
but I don't want to give away all the movie.
Right.
Like the guy on Operation.
Oh.
No, not like the guy in Operation.
But you know what? With all the, obviously, with all the talk shows that he goes on, you don't know about that scene that's coming up.
Right.
There is a definitive scene in there that is...
And Rob, no, not like the fat guy in Operation. I mean, picture, if you will...
oh, dear.
I'm going to turn the microphones off for one second.
Okay. Don is describing one of the characters.
Okay, now him, except fatter than him.
And hairier.
And totally naked... Totally naked, running through a ballroom.
Oh, no!
Okay, there, now I said too much.
Yeah.
But that's not really the
you're
best
not gonna
part.
That's no. not a movie that you wreck by giving little stuff.
That's true.
Not. That movie holds up. It's
how long,
just a series of stuff.
How long do you think we should give our audience? How long should we give them before we openly start discussing?
We should give them through this coming weekend.
Oh,
it deserves another week because it hasn't gone wide yet.
That would be so hard.
Is it going to go wide this weekend or
yeah,
is it even going to go wide after that?
No, it's going big wide this
weekend. Oh, really?
Weekend. Yeah.
I would say you could give it until Friday.
Yeah, but what if they don't see it? What if it's not showing until Friday? I mean,
yeah.
I know when I was looking
at well, based on the fact that I saw the movie today, 12:25, and there were 30 people in the, you know when you feel like a loser? Because we had had this discussion, and I asked Carla a couple of times over the weekend. In fact, even on Sunday, I said, do you want to go see it on Sunday? And, you know, she doesn't dig like going to those movies. So I said, all right. I decided I'll go by myself. And right as the movie's going to start, I got this guy two rows in back of me. He comes walking in. He goes, hey, Mike, just before the movie starts, I want to say love the show. and I, you know, all of a sudden that's when you feel like the spotlight should come on and you should have an L on your forehead. Because, you know, I guess he saw us when we were doing our Hooters thing in Rockville. So I'm a little self-conscious.
Well, the standing rule has always been
what?
You two have seen it. Then you can talk about it.
Yeah, but I think we should give everybody just a little
not,
time.
It's not fair because it is one weekend. It's got to be through next weekend. You got to get the second week.
But
if you don't
really,
see it after the second weekend, then, you know, all bets are off.
Funnier than Something About Mary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say funnier than Animal House because I remember how much I laughed at Animal House. I was 30 years
funny,
ago.
Funny, but what makes it, it's original. It's different.
Yeah.
It's and there have been, you know, Spinal Tap and those type of movies that are mockumentaries. But they're really actor-driven. This guy does more things where... You know he's getting over on people, and that's the biggest thing.
And I had two major bones of contention.
Bones.
Contention over the weekend with my gal pal. The first was during the movie, trying to explain to Janet that those were real people. Those are not actors, that it's not set up, that everybody that he talked to in the movie, with the exception of the fellow actors.
There are probably, you know, three, four people in the whole movie that you might say were in on the gag. But even the people that I think are in on the gag are real. I really think they got them real.
And,
you know, but most of the people where the really fun stuff happens,
like
they don't know what's coming.
For instance, there's a scene he's having dinner at a house with a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
there's no way that could have been staged.
And
no.
The reaction from the woman, well, first of all, the guy says, here's why the movie just sucked, right? One of the guys at dinner says, what do you do? I'm retired. You're retarded. I mean, that's kind of where the whole thing... And there's a pastor sitting at the table.
Right.
And then he's got to go to the bathroom, and then it involves wiping. And, I mean, Janet at one point said to me, are these people real? And I said, yes.
Right.
That's what.
Right.
That's the magic of this. All of these people are
now, I guess the way I understand he does it is he gets a release
yes.
and says, we're shooting. But was the release giving these people the idea that they were really... See, he does the whole thing under the guise of doing a documentary. Everybody knows this already. I'm not spoiling anything by saying that.
A phony release, which is how like he got Alan Keyes, right? That guy.
But he's really doing a documentary.
Well, I've heard him interviewed
from Kazakhstan or whatever the country is.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Right. But the release is very, very thorough. But in the way that it's worded, it can also be sort of vague.
Really?
So he's covered.
All right.
But unless you read all the fine print, the question I have about the movie is. Certain movies, like if you compare it to like a, I don't know, like a Christopher Guest movie, like the...
And here's the difference between that. That's the difference that you've got real people.
Right.
Where a Christopher Guest movie,
they're made up.
Spinal Tap or A Mighty Wind, they're all actors.
All actors.
But on the Christopher Guest movies, I found the more you watch them, the funnier they get. Is this going to be the same?
This going to be the same. Yeah. The times 100 because the people are real.
Okay. Yeah.
Imagine a Michael Moore movie.
Oh, okay.
Imagine a Michael Moore movie where... Where all he does is goof on people.
That's
that's
perfect description.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Michael Moore movie with a guy goofing on people. That's what it is.
I had to explain to my girlfriend first that they were real people, and then yesterday, if this was not just the pisser of all pissers at the football game, at the Redskins game, maybe the greatest football game I've ever been to. I'm sure you saw it on SportsCenter. In a nutshell, what happens is Redskins are going to screw the game up. It's tied at 19. Dallas is going to kick a field goal. To win with 6 seconds left. Redskins blocked the field goal. Sean Taylor picks up the ball and starts running with it. Everybody on the Redskins sideline is saying, just go down on the ground so we can go to overtime. He keeps running back with it. A Dallas guy grabs his face mask, 15 yards, puts the Redskins on, in line for a 47-yard field goal. Guy just missed a 49-yarder. There is no time on the clock.
Right.
The game cannot end on a defensive penalty. This is when Janet wanted to ask me questions.
Oh!
Now, we are at the game, and it is at a fever pitch, and people are screaming, and I am screaming, and she's saying, why do they get a play if there's no more time on the clock? Because it can't end on a defensive penalty. She said,
there are no other circumstances where the game can end other than that. Otherwise, if he's down and he falls down, goes to overtime.
She said, but the Redskins were on defense. I said, yes, the Redskins were on defense. When they lined up for the field goal. When they blocked the field goal, and then they got the ball.
They were on offense.
Then they're on offense. And the guy with the face mask, it can't end on a defensive penalty. Why? It was like having a conversation with a five-year-old. Because...
I would imagine when you're looking at the zero on the clock,
the referee is saying in the stadium, there's no time off. The game is over, but the Redskins get a free play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she kept saying, why? Like a five-year-old does, but not in that annoying five-year-old way.
Did you answer her like Lost in America, like the bellhop in Lost in America?
No,
like,
I didn't.
I don't know.
Here's what I said.
I just don't know.
I said, it's a rule. And then everybody in my section, I said, by this time we had moved to better seats for the end of the game. I said,
because a lot of people split?
I got some access there with people who have better seats.
Right.
So a lot of times at halftime, we'll go upstairs where there's an open bar and I can hang out with other people who have left.
Magic that makes football and any sport better, alcohol.
So I turn to the people and I say, everybody, can the game end on a defensive penalty?
No.
Right.
I said, why? And almost to a man, 30 guys go, I don't know.
Nobody knows. It's just the rule.
Nobody knows. But it was, I mean, that and
so if he doesn't get the face mask, then the game does go to overtime.
Then it goes to overtime.
You know, but the fact that the idiot, and I'm sure Bill Parcells is thrilled with him, tackled him by the face mask is thrilled.
I didn't see this till I got home and was watching SportsCenter. I didn't realize that the coach of the Redskins is such a pussy. The guy's lining up to kick the field goal with no time left for their free play to win the game that by all rights they should have lost. Gibbs is looking down. He's praying.
Yes, he's praying.
He is not even, it's not a question of a coach looking away. I mean, he looked afraid. He looked like he was.
He does that on field goals.
Wow. I had never seen him do that.
I mean, he does that at I've seen him do it before.
God, what a pussy. I mean, really, if it's going to be a guy going to field goal, don't you want to see it?
Yeah, some guys look away. But that's the thing. I think he's looking down and he's just turning it over to the Lord.
Oh, God, please.
Please, please. I really want to make sure he makes that field goal. Otherwise, I do not want to lose this game.
Make Mr. Snyder so happy.
But, boy, you know, when it's Dallas and it's this town, my God.
It's a big deal.
I mean, right, you know, and you know what I can do without? What I seriously can do without? And I am delighted any time the Redskins beat Dallas. But when you see the anchor people come on and the anchor person goes, the phony, their fans... Like Will Thomas, who what doesn't give a rat's ass about the Redskins?
Will Thomas and his painted on eyebrows.
Every single anchor
Joan
person.
Crawford, Lucille Ball, eyeliner, eyeshadow.
And they all say the same things. Well, I tell you, we're all going to be talking about this for quite some time. No, you're lying. You're anchor people, and you're supposed to say that.
Right.
You're supposed to say that because you're on TV in Washington.
And I also had a very funny moment at the game yesterday. There's a lounge inside FedEx Field where you can smoke cigars. So, shock, that's where Janet and I end up before the game. We got in there at about 11:30, and they had the Fox game on the big jumbotron there in the humidor, the big smoking lounge.
Yeah.
I had totally forgotten that our commercial was going to run. So, right as I go to the first commercial break, it's like, boom, this thing comes on TV. She goes... real loud. Fortunately, it's loud. And she goes, oh, my God, it's your commercial. I'm like, shh. Quiet.
And it easy,
was,
girl.
It was funny. Got a big, big laugh.
Oh, good.
It got a big, big laugh.
It is, because it's so different. You know, you're talking about Borat. That commercial is so bad, it's good. I love it. It's so homemade. That's what I like about it.
It is the essence of our YouTube commercial contest. It's homemade. It's cheap.
And it caused me to watch The Family Guy for the very first time last night.
But it is great, and I hope you caught it last night.
Was the volume loud in the humidor? Could you hear the voices?
No. That's why people were laughing.
I'm so glad we picked that one, because it was the right one for us.
Here it is running in context during Fox NFL Sunday.
Oh, good.
We'd like some real political ad or something before. Okay. On both sides.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. There.
The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is responsible for the content of this ad.
I'm Don Geronimo. And I'm Michael Mara from Radio's Don and Mike Show. Our ensemble cast includes Spark Plus, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Joe Ardinger, and Johnny Norman. Mike does great impersonations. Hey, Mike, do J.R. Tolkien. Hobbits are really cool. Don, show them your Batman powers. Join us weekdays from 3 to 7 at WJFK 106.7 for the Don and Mike Show. Same bat time, same bat channel.
A popular bathroom product injuring young boys.
Wow. A popular bathroom product. I like being right before a popular bathroom product injures young boys.
And hearing the audio does not do it justice because... it is so cheaply done with our publicity picture and the Clutch Cargo stuff with our mouse.
That's the whole thing that got us into the Clutch Cargo mouse.
It's got Buzz's publicity picture up there and the picture of Rob is King Kong.
Right.
And John has got like a prison number underneath his picture.
That's my favorite part, John, when they show John with that number. Love that.
It's too good. Thank you again to loyal listener Floyd Barber. And
really, really terrific job.
As much as it pains, I know me, on behalf of everyone. Thank you, CBS.
Yep. They were men of their word.
They did okay.
God, I hate that.
They did okay.
I was going to fire off an email, and then I thought best not to do it.
Turns out they lucked out. Hear it, because it ran on the Fox station in D.C.
Right.
So lucky for us, it was while all the Fox dummies were at the stadium yesterday for the show. Huge game, which obviously ended up being a gigantic win. So I got to think a lot of people were watching the pregame show.
For local here in Washington, it couldn't be better. I mean, really, almost, you know, really, I have to say probably better than the World Series for this town. I mean, since you're running it only in Washington.
Right.
I think it was a great idea.
And if you want to see the ad, I guess we'll have a link up eventually on our website. If you still go to YouTube and just key in Dynamite commercial, just find the one that says same bad time, same bad channel.
Right.
It's a winner. It's a hoot. It's funny. It's homemade. It's friggin' great.
Maybe we can do it again next year.
It's great. It's not as great as Borat.
No.
Nothing's as great. Nothing.
Very nice.
Nothing I don't think will ever be as nice as Borat.
But in a way, isn't that commercial a goof anyway? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, of course
it is. It's a total goof, and that's similar to Borat. You know, we didn't get a slickly produced advertising agency commercial. We had somebody do it in their garage.
No, but Mike, nothing will ever be as great as Borat.
No, you're absolutely right. Kazakhstan.
And there's so many things that even if we wanted to discuss in this FCC climate, we couldn't.
Right. Yes.
You know, but...
he can, though, because it's the wonderful world of cinema. Ed's got, man, God damn.
And he makes people, you know, I don't think he's going out of his way to make people look bad.
No.
They just kind of do it on their own.
It's really people.
Let's go to the rodeo.
And he goes to talk to feminists.
Oh, and it's great because he's all over the place. You know what I mean? He doesn't have any particular target.
And he finds some tards from the University of South Carolina and ends up watching porno in their van as they get drunk. And
it's fantastic.
And the guy goes with it so far. This morning I was watching the Today Show, like at 20 after 7 when they just have their filler crap on.
Right.
And they mentioned, oh, yes, yeah, this movie, Borat. Wow, Borat, I mean, number one at the box office, they say. And
he's done a press tour like nobody's done a press tour.
They say, guess who is here? Guess who's here?
Very nice.
And he comes out
with the same gray suit.
Same suit. Mm-hmm. And he sits down and he says, they say, your movie's number one. He says, I'm so happy, USA. He says, I am so happy. Now, who wants a drink? And it's 7:20 morning, see if you're not used
right,
to this.
Yeah.
He pulls out a real bottle of vodka.
That same kind of bottle he has
in
the car with the driving instructions.
You know what I mean? Like the little, what is it?
It's a little pint. Little pint bottle.
Anyway, he drinks it. He goes, anybody want any? And then they continue. And he says, they say, what are you going to do to celebrate? I'm going to get some American prostitutes. Hey, Matt Lauer. They tell me that you're the guy to see for that.
Good.
It was
good timing on that one.
It was great. You know, Matt Lauer's going through his own marital problems.
Right.
And he I'll give Matt Lauer credit. He laughed because it was fun.
Yep. It is going to be, you know, why would they have not released that to more screens? That's what I, that's the first question I have. The second question.
Well, it's so controversial, Mike.
Is that really what it is?
You know, I think it is. I think it is the same reason that radio sucks so bad, mm-hmm. that you get a movie that really is smart and intelligent, even though it deals with fecal matter and with intercourse and with race and with religion. It is so intelligently done, but in a slapstick style.
Right.
That the studios thought, you know what? This won't work. I bet everybody will go see Santa Claus 3.
That was the bet. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
I think it's stupid.
Santa Claus 3 was in like 3,000 theaters.
And the second thing, I don't think he can do a sequel. I just don't think he... It'd
be hard to top.
Well, I think he's going to be so well known now, I don't think it's going to be possible.
His next movie will be a different character that looks quite different from the one he played.
Is that what he's supposed to be doing?
He has a handful of characters.
So he might be doing another movie as a...
Is his name Bruno? The Austrian gay man?
Okay.
Oh, the guy from the Ali G show?
Yeah, he's very funny.
Yeah. That's a good one, too.
Very nice.
Of the three, the Ali G is the least funny, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, so that's good. Now that answers my question.
Although even the content of the Ali G, I thought, was always funny. He always asked funny questions.
Yeah. I think the fact that it was probably funnier in the UK than it was over here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because of the way he... with that Cockney accent that he had, it was just kind of strange. Everybody can relate to the Borat character.
You guys should just go see this movie.
Yeah, go.
I mean, we would not steer you wrong on this. Really, I mean... Movies are such crap now.
Right.
You know, when you get one that's halfway good...
Well, when's the last time you saw a great comedy? I mean, they don't come along. They really come along once every decade or so.
You know? Never. I mean, there are movies that are funny.
Yeah.
And you go, you know, Along Came Polly. Ha-ha. Yeah. You know, and it's like, I'm watching the trailer.
Benchwarmers. Uh-huh.
I'm watching the trailer for Borat, and I see, like, and they devoted all kinds of space in the theater to big signs for whatever the stupid Christmas movie is with Ben Stiller.
Right.
Which to me looks like a grown-up version of Home Alone.
Yeah.
That he's, like, stuck in a house and, like, someone wants to get in. And Danny DeVito is a guy. And it's a battle where he wants to have the most lights on his house. More.
Yeah, lights. That you always count on something being safe.
More lights than anybody. And it's the bad CGI scene. With Matthew Broderick and a sleigh that someone has managed to...
Do you want to see Matthew Broderick and edgy? That's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ever since then, there hasn't been edginess.
It's a sleigh that's catapulting over someone's house, and he's going, whoa, stop this crazy thing. I'm thinking, this is what's wrong with Hollywood.
Have you seen the Ben Stiller trailer for the movie where he's locked in the museum?
Yeah.
With Robin Williams.
Where all the animals come alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he's got two tour de forces coming out this year.
He really does. He really, really does.
I was thinking, why would you show the at Borat? I mean, know your audience. Those people are there to see a pretty funny movie.
Right.
Why would you, like, hit us over the head with the ad for this
Pablum.
Dumb,
Christmas movie.
Because the dumb Christmas movie will probably make money.
Were you in the theater when they showed the preview to the upcoming Mel Gibson movie? Did they show that at your theater?
I did. The Apocalypto?
I did not.
The audience groaned.
Oh, see, they didn't mind. I listened for that.
When his name went on the screen, the audience groaned. And at the end of the movie, you could have heard crickets because I don't think anybody understood.
We're talking about the movie about the
Aztecs, right? Yeah. No one had any desire to see it.
Is Chevy Chase in that as Mel Gibson?
I watched the beginning of that.
If you saw the first 10 minutes, you saw the whole.
Well, you know what? I just didn't think it was that inspiring. I really didn't. I was really disappointed. I thought it was just Chevy Chase totally underplaying it and really just.
You don't have the warrants to hold me.
You blew a .13. You've been placed under arrest for DWI.
Screw you, sugar. I have powerful friends who will crucify you and your people for even putting your hands on me. Can you hear that behind the mirror?
Look. You don't have a scratch on you, so that's someone else's blood you're wearing. Now, if that person is hurt and needs...
Because it's Law and Order, they couldn't make it just like Mel Gibson. They had to work a murder into it somehow.
Yeah, and I thought he... You know what? I really thought he should have played it drunker.
The thing that I like the best is when he went on the fake Larry King show apologize.
I didn't see it. I think the guy's name was like Barry Pope.
Oh, no, really? But it was a very Jewish. It was very something, and they hugged.
You know what that borderline?
They hugged at the end.
That borderline's what's his name that we made fun of for 3 days in a row?
Who?
George Lopez. That's right. The bum. The bum. That's
bum.
Right along that same.
Yeah, agreed.
It's not as bad, but it's very, very close to that.
I've done nothing wrong. They arrest anybody they want. Jews are always playing the victim. But all this time.
Look at Rob laugh. He's laughing like you and I laughed during Borat. Yeah.
Chevy Chase is funny.
I'm the one who's been victimized.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Mr. Carroll, shut up, please. I want to call my son. Dun, dong.
And then they show the prosecutor who's like, write everything he says down.
That's right.
Dun, dong.
Dun, dun.
Chevy Chase. That resurrected his career. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
I just... I was calling to wish you guys a stoner salute to a happy week. I'm glad I saw Borat. The scene you guys were talking about in the hotel made the tears roll down my face.
Yeah, we got to go easy on it. We don't want to ruin it for everybody, but yeah.
I won't give details.
The hotel scene. Agree. You don't have to be stoned. Hey, no.
And we're not giving anything away because there are several hotel scenes,
but there is the hotel scene.
No, I wasn't even stoned for the movie, but is that movie not huge? Because it was only on so few screens, and there were lines around the block for it.
Yeah.
You said that when you got to it, it was just packed.
We had, like I said, sit the front row.
Right.
And didn't mind. Once it started, did not mind.
I went to see the movie on Monday, alone.
Hello. But still, you had a good time.
And there was about 30 people in there. For a Monday, that's a pretty good draw for a movie.
Yeah. And isn't that a good testimonial to a film, to a comedy, that you could see a comedy by yourself?
I was very happy when I noticed that everybody was starting to file in a little bit, because I realized that, you know, when you're seeing a comedy, I think it's best to see a comedy in a crowded theater.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a Monday, man, this movie's already doing... I've never seen numbers like that on a Monday.
Very nice. Hello, you there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don, Mike, how's it going?
Okay, my friend.
Hey, I just want to call and let you know, I saw the commercial that you guys had over the weekend with Matt during the Skins Cowboys game, and that was hilarious.
Oh, good.
It was funny. Very funny. And another thing...
It's run twice.
Very nice.
Very nice. You would think that somebody over at Redskins Park would help Joe Gibbs with his after-game speeches and press conferences, because he looks so uncomfortable. I mean, he's always tugging at his shirt, and he's always saying they fought their guts out.
Oh, come on. Look what he was doing. He was just probably saying to God, please make this field goal, you can take my left nut. he had been promising his life to the Lord, and then wouldn't even look when the guy kicked.
He does a lot better when they lose, because he's more accustomed to that speech.
All I know is I'll be saying something all this week, a new concept that I have for Redskins fans.
Yeah.
Run the table! Run the table! Run the table, dog. Run the table.
Never mind that if Parcells had gone for one,
right,
instead of two earlier, it might have been different.
Yeah, what the hell was he doing that for?
How great was it when giant ass T.O. has that ball right in his hands and gets the drop scene?
Sure. Seems to do that every game.
Nice dance, too. Nice dance in the end zone.
Yeah. We're going to run the table.
Hello, Donna Mike show.
Hello.
Hello. I was wondering if you guys understood why you can't end on a defensive penalty.
You mean the actual rule?
No. Well, the concept behind it.
What is the concept behind it?
Well, the concept behind it is if you were to end on a defensive penalty, it would be it could be a defensive free-for-all. Saying you're a defensive end, you could jump outside before the play started if there's 3 seconds left, and you could go in and get a head start in a quarterback and then jump on him, and there wouldn't be any penalty for it.
Yeah, but don't they have, like, that 10-second runoff rule or something that, like, if you've got – hold on. Now, stay with me for a second. I'm going to get deep into sports. I'm sorry about this. If you've got the ball and there are less than, like, 30 seconds left in the game and you got to do anything at all and you do some bonehead play to cause a penalty to stop the clock, they take 10 seconds off the clock. And if you do this with under 10 seconds in the game, they just say, that's it, the game's over. So in theory, on one hand, you couldn't keep making penalties to perpetuate the game moving on. But this whole defensive thing is a different rule that I've never understood.
No, on offense, they take the 10-second runoff. On defense, they don't. On defense, they just have the offense have the untimed down.
When you say an untimed down, so they can run a play without any time on the clock.
And that's
why they were able to do the field
goal. That's
right.
What the Redskins got yesterday. That's why there was no time left, and they were able to kick the field goal.
I might have a lot of people mad at me, but I think that rule is a little hinky.
I like it.
Just
thanks
wanted
for calling.
Everybody to be straightened out.
Thanks for calling, Paul.
You're welcome. Bye.
Paul Tagliabue. Or who's the new guy?
Roger.
Well, Roger couldn't call it.
Roger Goodell.
Too busy. We had to get Paul.
Is that his real name, Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
Roger Goodell.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Alan Frisco, how you guys doing?
Hey, Alan Frisco.
Frisco or Fisto?
I thought people. And speaking of Fisto,
yeah, I have that on.
Yeah. Well, Borat.
That's the very end.
There's a great Dennis Murphy moment.
There is absolutely.
Yeah, there is. Yes,
see, this is why you go see it again, because I'm thinking, I got to see that again.
Yeah, me too.
I got to see that
me too. I know. I thought that people in San Francisco didn't like the city referred to as Frisco.
In my neighborhood, they're setting up a sting for ministers.
Your neighborhood is setting up the sting for ministers?
Yeah.
Is this a joke?
No, Samson. Aren't you a little large to be having a massage?
So you ever been with an old guy before?
Yeah.
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
My dad. Oh, no, not sexually. No.
Do you get the impression on Monday?
I did bring him a webcam, and I brought him some wine coolers.
Okay, son.
We get an impression sometimes the weekend continues for some people. A little longer.
That's the magic of the summer of love.
That guy is trying to relive the magic of Predator the way you're doing Borat. I mean, he's trying to just let it go on. He's sorry that he only saw it once.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Bueno Arbusto, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Howdy. Hey, pardon me. I heard Nancy Hawk. I was just doing that.
You heard what? Hold on. It said I heard Nancy, and then the guy hung up.
Oh, bad phone.
Did Jim Nance have some type of a boner?
It sounds like maybe there was a lunger. Like he had a bit of a lunger there. Maybe he hawked up something. Friends, it's...
I have to also say that all we're doing is talking about movies and TV right now.
Right.
Who cares? Last night, when I was watching that great Colts-Patriots game, Christ, did that game live up to the hype. I was also flipping back to Family Guy to watch our commercial run again.
Right.
And right after our commercial, they had like the last 2 seconds where the Family Guy is speaking... it was American Dad. Which one is it where he spoke before the Republican convention?
That would have to be American
Dad. Yeah. Anyway, at one point, stands with his son. He says, because I wasn't sure which one of these cartoons our commercial was running against. So I was like just flipping back and forth. Anyway, the guy with the big jaw, and he says, son, there's nothing wrong with homosexuals. And the son says, so it's okay if I hug you? Yes, son. Unless you get a boner. And it was delivered like, it was delivered in the old time. It was like
word cleaver.
Unless you get a boner. Unless you get a boner.
Do you get the impression that the animated shows on Fox have kind of different standards? Because they're cartoons. They can say different things.
Yeah. Yep.
I've never seen The Family Guy. I mean, I've never seen that. Well, I really have not seen with the dog and the baby going into the army.
Right.
Very Full Metal Jacket-like. Very interesting.
We also ran Save This Weekend on our friend JB from CBS NFL Today.
Yes.
He was very good with the Indeeds. He didn't have one Indeed.
Oh, good.
Congratulations, JB.
Mike. He didn't have one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it was sort of quiet.
One is okay.
Well, that doesn't matter.
He throws them away now, indeed.
That doesn't matter because now we've got a new one when we have him on either this week or next week.
Oh, no.
Count the folks. He's crazy about folks.
Folks.
Here we go. Oops. That's a record.
He's going to have a real complex now if we take away two of his verbal crutches.
That's the idea.
Folks. His new crutch word is folks.
And usually all right, folks.
Here we go. I believe the count is 10 during a one-hour show. Let's check it out.
We welcome you to Week 9. Hello, everyone. I'm James Brown. Thank you so very much. Looking like a Lucha System Dan out there. Looking all slim indeed. All right. Wait. All right, folks. All right, folks, as we check in live. All right, folks. Cincinnati is at Baltimore. Thanks a lot, Randy. All right, folks. All right, folks. In the battle of the Show Me State.
No doubt about that one. All right, folks.
Quickly enough. Thank you very much, Charlie. All right, folks. Hey, folks. The Giants host the Texans today on CBS. And Leslie, thank you so very much for that. All right, folks.
There's Ted.
All right, folks. Coming right up.
Now, wait, it's not just folks, it's all right folks.
Yeah, but we counted folks along.
There was an extra folks in there, but it really is all right folks.
That was 10, right, Buzz?
10 it was. All right folks. God.
You call Elizabeth and tell her this is the big one.
Elizabeth, all right folks.
Elizabeth is Nancy's gal Friday.
JB's.
I'm right. Sorry.
Hail to the Redskins.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hail
time for some of our post-game reaction.
Here we go.
Hail to the knuckleheads. Fight for DC.
Tom?
Yeah.
How do you spell field goal? Field goal.
Field goal.
F-A-L-D.
Yes, sir.
Goal. G-O-O-D.
Fault good.
Right.
Perfect.
How you guys doing?
Fine, Tom. How are you?
Good. I'd like to come in and be on the show.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Watch it.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Watch it.
Go see Borat.
Who?
Go see Borat. He talks about you in the movie.
Who's that?
Borat, the movie.
I don't like Borat.
Why?
I don't like him.
He likes you.
No, he doesn't.
Why not?
He does.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
What'd you have for breakfast today?
I had nothing.
What do you mean nothing?
Oh, I had McDonald's this morning.
Yum.
What did you have?
I had egg and cheese and bacon.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
What do you have for lunch?
I had a salad and...
And here we go.
Guess what?
What?
Chicken livers!
Yeah.
Chicken livers. I bet your breath smells good, Tom.
You know, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
What's so,
Charlie?
Hey, hello, Tom.
Tom, what's so good about chicken livers, buddy?
They come out of chickens.
Uh-huh. They come out of chickens. Do you enjoy chicken livers, Tom?
And like the wind,
wow.
He's gone.
A lot of people seem to be jumping off the ship like that.
He's gone.
Very, very rapid.
You know, let me get to say...
You know! That's one of my favorites that I like.
Very nice.
You know.
Don and Mike Show.
Oh, guys, you got to go on USA Today. They have people reacting to how they came off in the movie.
Oh, you mean the people that were actually featured in the
yeah.
movie?
Yeah.
I know there's some people that are very upset with it.
Yeah, the ones that are happy are the humor coach, the driving instructor, and the Southern Diners.
Well, they all should be. Especially the driving instructor came off as a very nice, very affable.
Oh, the Southern Diners are okay with him?
They were, yeah, but the not-so-happy are the New York Hotel, the feminist, the car salesman, the rodeo producer.
I thought the car salesman did okay. I don't know why he feels that.
The local television station, the Dallas desk clerk.
So you said the local TV station's not happy with him?
Yeah, the local TV station, the brass at WATP, immediately ceased all live interviews on the station, Fox News reports.
That's why they're stupid.
And it's another great tweet that the guy alluded to. When he's in his hotel, he gets a telegram, and the guy from the hotel has to read him the telegram. I won't ruin it for you. His reaction, again, I realize it sounds like a MasterCard commercial. Prices, and what makes it great is that it's a real... I can see why the guy from the hotel would complain after the fact.
Well, he has time. The timing he has, you know, where you just go all the way with it, where you really get the most out of
high
it.
High five!
from the local TV station, the guy who booked him eventually left the station and struggled with months of unemployment.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
that's too bad. All right, thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Well, I said, I guess that's the opening message here. Go see that movie.
Yes.
It certainly is funnier than this
show. What makes me laugh about that last call is that they really booked the guy legitimately. That is so damn funny.
Everybody did. The feminist, everybody
right.
did.
Everybody did. But you know, you would
the
think.
The rodeo
really...
where he sang the Star Spangled Banner?
Oh, my God.
You would think the TV thing. But you know, when he sits down there, as soon as you look at it, you know it's real. And Allah from Kazakhstan.
People
are idiots. It's fantastic. It is fantastic.
And the hotel room.
Ah, yes.
Yes. The hotel room, the maybe single greatest moment ever in movies.
Mm-hmm. You gotta love it.
My God.
And it keeps getting better.
Yeah, and I don't know when I have talked so flowingly and lovingly and glowingly about the ass, but man.
This one's worth $9.
God.
Wow.
Really?
You wanna brush your teeth after you see this movie. And floss.
Smell your mustache.
Yeah.
Your mustache smells.
I know you want to. You're
yeah,
dying
yeah.
to say it.
I know. We got
to
wait.
Can't. We'll ruin it for you.
Yeah.
You haven't talked about a movie like this since Kangaroo Jack came out.
That's right.
That was the last great comedy, Kangaroo Jack.
And not done with CGI, incidentally. A real kangaroo.
That's right.
And I haven't been this excited about a comedy since Madagascar.
Hold on a second. Tom, why'd you hang up, Tom?
No, you get it.
No, Tom didn't touch.
Hey, Tom.
Watch it,
Tom. I didn't touch nothing.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, neither did
Tom.
I.
You all touched it.
Tom, what are you being so angry for?
I'm not angry.
You are angry, Tom.
Watch it.
No, you watch it.
You watch it, Tom.
No.
Yes.
Yes, Tom, you got a little anger issue.
No, I am reading something off the Channel 9 News. Hello?
Yes, hello.
I'm reading something off Channel 9 News. Tomorrow is voting.
Is Joe going out to cover the voting?
Yeah.
I don't think so, Tom.
I'd like to know if I can go out and do it.
I don't think so, Tom.
Why?
Because I think we're going to have Super Dave do it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Watch it.
Super Dave.
Super Dave sucks.
Super
Dave.
Oh, now, Tom, don't say that.
Super Dave is great. Now,
that time he really hung up.
No, I didn't hang up on the
phone. He's very angry Tom again.
Either time, it wasn't.
I want to come down. You know. What do you think we're voting, David? I want to come down. I want to come down now. I mean, I'd have Super Dave out, but isn't he still attempting to get laid down in Louisiana?
He's in New Orleans for like 5 weeks.
Staying with family.
Oh. I don't like chicken liver.
Staying with generous family.
Got to do this right now. Be right back, everybody.
Is the Don and Mike Show. Come, watch them stem the rose. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Operator error.
Warning.
I would very much like to meet this Madonna. Very nice. We think it showed the freedom of your country that one of your most popular singers is a transvestite. In my country, he would be in a circus. We say down below it looked like there are two monkeys fighting in a hammock. Very nice.
And that's censored. That's doing the talk show draft.
The enemies of whatnot. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, Eddie Kendricks, and hi, you. Yeah, you're funny for listening. Okay. Let's get this thing on my brother and the website, and then we'll move on with the show. I know I do have what I find to be, I think you'll find my son's weekend to be much more interesting than mine.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes. Let me just say...
When did he get into town?
He got in on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
The code word is... Cougar.
Ah. Oh, dear.
Well, cougar.
Oh, dear.
And I also know that...
That sounds a little uncomfortable.
Somebody in this room fell off the wagon this weekend.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Me either, Mike.
I have no idea who you're talking
Me
about.
Me either. But because it's what we do... Let's just start with this thing with my brother.
All right.
Okay? So we can do that. I'm on the fan site, and I'm not going to mention the people by name, because I think there are some people just looking to have their
SIG names mentioned on the air.
Sure.
They'll get excited if that happens. One guy in particular whose posts I've read before simply cannot get facts right. During one of his posts, he writes, how dare I say that this is a hate site, our fan site, a hate site. Mm-hmm. But actually, you said that, Mike. I mean, I didn't say that. You said that. I know you didn't mean it, but...
Right. No, I meant it.
Well, anyway, this guy starts this... It's, hey, Mike, a letter to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
18 minutes ago. Mike, if you can get someone to lead you here to read this, that is. Every time you mention the name of this site on the air, it goes down every time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it accidentally, please stop.
Yeah.
If you're doing it intentionally, why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to dump on the people who spend money out of their own pockets to put up a fan show site? All you end up doing is taking away our mindless fun and making the owners take time out of their day to reset the server.
I didn't do it on purpose.
Do you think we all want to work all day or something? If we're not proud of part of the proud 4%, we need stuff to do to get away from work. Give us a break already.
See, now it's that kind of hostility that I don't need. I mean, I didn't mean anything by it, and I just said it, and I'm sorry that it... If it crashes when I mention it by name, then I won't mention it by name.
Jeez. Next one says, actually, the site held up pretty well. Oh, and Mike, there's a link on the site that says new post right at the top. Next person writes, actually, the site held up well. That's what I thought, too. Kudos to the mods. And then...
What are the mods?
Moderators.
Oh.
And someone writes, they're quoting the previous post. If you're doing it intentionally, why? Some guy named Big Rob writes, yes, he thinks it's funny.
Well, I did one time, I did it intentionally, didn't I?
They spoke
but that wasn't that website. I know that I did something intentional one time because I knew that it would it would get a lot of traffic.
So let's get back to the guy that started this.
Because
then 10 minutes ago he wrote, that's out of character for him, though. He usually is not mean that way. That would be something I would expect Don to do, not Mike. And the site did come up back fast, thanks to whoever's on the button today.
Oh. That'd be the mods.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Is that right?
Let me see. Blah, 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 blah. Then someone writes, if they'd never mentioned the site name, I would never have come across the site. 6 months of laughter and tears I brought you guys never would have existed. Once in a while, it's a good thing for the name to be dropped to bring in some new blood.
Okay, so then it's a good... Now, that person's saying... It's a good thing to mention the site.
And someone writes, good point, especially since most people have never heard of freaking Google. Sorry, rant over. Next guy writes, I agree Mike does it on purpose. It's his way of having fun with us creepy BM stalker type.
I did do it once on purpose, I think.
Okay.
Didn't do it this time on purpose.
Let's go to the next one. Next one is, hey, I don't get it. Are we not fans? Here we go.
Do we not bleed? Are we not fans?
And I know that these people are trolling for this, but I'll give it to you. All Don does, this is from the same guy that wrote the last one to you. All Don does is talk about the negativity here. Why does he never mention all the positive posts? Well, speaking specifically for me, I can't find any.
Ouch.
I mean, I can find some that say like, yeah, Don, we love you or you're the man, but really I'm talking just about me. There's lots of stuff about how great everybody is, but not me. And I highlight it because, well, why not? Well,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, the guy writes, why does he never mention the positive posts? Well, I'd like to see all the positive posts about me. Those most certainly outweigh the negative by far. About the show, yes. About me, no.
Mm-hmm.
He paints a picture like there are no show fans here at all. He seems to be equating it with Pupkin's site. That's wrong. We know that Pupkin deletes all the positive comments he gets in the mailbag, and most of the stuff here is positive, but Don never mentions the positive things ever. He constantly puts this place down as if nothing positive is ever posted, and that is just as misrepresentative as Pupkin is being. You know, listen, I don't think that, what is he right? I don't think I've constantly put that place down. If you go back and you listen to, while Mike is really not well-versed on the site, I have said numerous times, it's a great site for fans. I appreciate it. It's great. Keep it going.
And we talk about it. That's right there. That should be a little indicative of how we feel about it.
Then this guy, Mr. Wants to Run the World, if he expects 100% mindless positive posts here, he'll be disappointed.
Oh, I've heard that before.
The show is too polarizing.
Please. Yeah, I've really heard that, too. Look, I don't think either one of us expects blind loyalty on this website. I don't think so. But if you're going to be... writing things that we're looking at every day, we can comment about that, too. I mean, it's a two-way street, isn't it? That's the way that works.
Right. Then someone writes, because in today's culture, positive stories don't get attention. If he didn't like the site, he wouldn't talk about it. Correct.
Then someone else writes, drink the Kool-Aid. Then some other guy who wants to show he's got balls writes, I don't live my life or write my post thinking about Don will say. If he wants to lurk here, it's his prerogative. If I want to lurk here, hey, I got news for you. Here's something that's really not very nice. If there wasn't a Don and Mike show, you wouldn't have a site.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I appreciate the fact that fans have put this site together. I have said that repeatedly.
You have said that.
But if, you know, it's a two-way street. If there was no show, there would be no site.
Right.
So get off my ass. Says no one's going to flock here to read about positive posts. So the guy writes, Don loves the negative posts from turds because it gives him extra minutes that he can be hilarious on the show. Then the guy who started this, again, writes back, that's not what I meant. I know he'll always read the negative stuff, but making it seem like everything here is negative and everyone here thinks he's a bad guy and mentioning Pupkin in his site in the same breath is wrong. Reading negative threads? Funny. Saying this is a hate site like Pupkin's? Not funny. And patently incorrect. When he does that stuff, he's no better than Pupkin himself. Hey, listen, douchebag. I didn't say that. Mike did. Not that it matters. But this is part of the reason that I got a hard-on sometimes with this website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What did I say?
That it was a hate site.
Oh, all right.
I mean, you said it in passing. Yeah. But it gets attributed to me. Right. And that is my...
Well, let me clarify my position on that. Because really, what I find with all of this stuff is that the overwhelming flavor or feel that I get from all of this seems to be a bit on the negative, and I think because it's much more, I think it's much easier for people to criticize than it is for people to say, you know, things are wonderful, things are great, and
everybody wants.
That's why you don't see a lot of that.
Everybody wants to show they're not a zombie, yet they're on a fan side, but they all, you know, and listen, I do look at it, I'm guilty of that.
I do too, and that's a misconception also, that I never look at it. I might joke about negotiating it, but I do look at that website.
So, anyway, you guys, come on, get your panties out of your asses, please. Come on, pull it together, for goodness sakes. You're embarrassing. You're really embarrassing. Now let's get to the one that my brother called me about.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay?
Okay, this is good. So he's been hunting around this website, too.
Yeah.
He hunts with a bow.
He hunts when it's bow season.
Well, now, I guess everybody must be going there because it's slowing down now. Gosh, I hope it's not because we mentioned
I didn't
the
say
name.
I didn't say a word.
Nobody did.
And why is that, too? I mean, you have a fan site.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about the show. You would think that you would want the show to acknowledge it, even if you're putting your own money in. And for doing that, again, for the umpteenth millionth time, thanks, whoever's doing
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know who's doing
it. Yeah, I mean, it's terrific if somebody has put their money into that. I think that's a great thing.
If you've got something like 3,000 members and 400,000 posts, sell some freaking advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Turn it into something. We'll mention it for you. Okay, here's what got my brother going today.
Okay.
The post is nostalgia. They've come a long way, sort of. Mm-hmm. So bear with me, because this is really not about me. This is about my brother.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Jimmy. Person first writes that this person wants to know how to hear the show on the internet. And then gets a bunch of smart-ass responses from people like, you're so stupid, click here. And they put, like, you know, click here and it'll lead you to
links.
This person writes back, well, you don't have to be so mean. I should have asked my son. I found the live stream, but they're not on yet. Then they write, mean, you haven't been here enough. Then someone else writes where they can go and get the show and its podcast. Okay. Then they write, you have to thicken up your skin. Then the person writes, good grief, does no one have a sense of humor anymore? I know this is boring, repetitive. It's getting to my brother here.
Building.
So now they're all talking among themselves. You crack me up. You are funny. Blah, blah, blah. And then this person writes, hold on a second. You didn't have to be quite so mean. Hold on, you crack me up, dude. Here we go. Here's the part about my brother. Okay, this is the eighth post. Good grief, does no one have a sense of humor anymore? I know I'm getting old, but thanks for the time info. I thought they had an affiliate in Dallas. Still glad to see Mike, or Don, is back to living after Frida died. Jim took it hard, and he was worried about Mike. Damn, Don. See, that's my real name is Mike.
Right, right.
You can't keep a good man down, and Don's a tough guy. Thanks again for the help. 15 years married to the core, toughen me up.
Raising three kids and dealing with gym the last 3 years were nothing compared to that. I'm just killing time before class.
What are they talking about?
This is now. Hold on, let me get into this. This is why my brother brought this to my attention. Even I hadn't delved into this.
Yeah, I'm just part of it. We're talking about your brother,
right? So then there's more volleying back and forth about who's stupid and who's dumb and who has the most posts on the thread and who has the right to be writing on the thread. And then it comes down to some of her claims. I have to wait for the next page to load.
Who this is a woman that's writing this?
As it turns out, they bust her. They find out she's in Dallas.
Okay.
Okay? So, she writes, this will give me something to do and I should be working on my research paper. Next person writes, welcome. Next person writes, the investigation is continuing. Something's funny going on here. Let me just scroll down. Here is what this woman has written. Here we go. She writes, for heaven's sake, is this not a public forum? If you paid attention to what I said, Don may be a bit abrupt now and then, but that's how he got to where he is. He's tough and determined. As for his little brother, he had so much potential and could have done so much, but things didn't work out that way. Like I said, I simply have no tolerance for people, men or women, who use deceit to manipulate others into making decisions based on that deceit, especially if kids are involved. So then they go back and they go, all right, it's a public forum on the Don and Mike show. What are you writing about? And then she writes the following. I never called him Jimmy, but I did have a nickname for him when we were dating.
Oh, okay. Is somebody that dated your brother?
Then she writes, I've been raising three kids and dating Jim the last 3 years. My brother, hello, is married. Then she writes, nothing much to say about myself. I went to high school with Don and Jim, dated Jim, broke up with Jim, found Jim 27 years later. I should mention earlier in this thread, she does mention the high school that I went to in Illinois very briefly, which I've never mentioned on the air. So
okay.
This is someone who either is a super stalker or does in fact know me or my brother.
Right.
Then she writes, I thought the world had come to an end when I saw Jim last week for the first time in 30 years. He still has sexy eyes. I never knew Jim went to the Mark Twain School. Didn't help his behavior as far as I can tell. Jim, as in Jimmy Source, wouldn't like it too much. Neither would his wife. And then she writes again. And I'm going to continue writing and have Don pop in here. Come to think of it, he wouldn't give me the time of day in high school. Let's just say that Jim keeps being married to himself with some of us and has a bit of a difficult time telling the truth. He's a better kisser than he was in high school, though, and he sleeps with his damn socks on.
Wow. Well, I understand why your brother might have been a little upset with all this.
Right. So then someone writes, you're trolling and you're looking for it, and I'm going to talk about it on the air.
Damn, you get into this stuff.
Even I had not found this level of this.
Wow.
Okay. So well, now it's going to go to the next page. Let me see. They stay right there. You're an attention whore. They're calling this person names.
Right.
It might be safe here from being read on air. If Don and Mike really only focus on general comments and negative comments, like they're trying to hide it from us on this website now.
Wow.
Then it says, here goes the site. I hope you're happy, whore. And then someone wrote, see, I told you this is going to be good. I hope you get what you wanted. And then someone writes, hey, you 131 guests, why not join the forum instead of crashing it every time we get mentioned? And I hope you get showtime with your stinky little allegations, Armageddon. That's the woman in Dallas. Someone then writes, I bet anything it's Rupert with his pants at his ankles.
This is a strange world.
Yes. So, now let's go.
Scary, man, because it's total anonymity. You can do anything. You can say anything.
Let's go to my brother, because I know when I spoke to him before the show today, he was not terribly upset. But I'll tell you, he was in Dallas last week.
Oh, that's right. Hello.
Hey, dude.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, man.
Hey, we are currently reading the thread on the air about you. And what would you like? First off, do you think you have any idea who this person? First off, Jimmy, what she's writing about you on this internet site?
I have no clue.
This is BS, right? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You tell me.
Have no clue.
No clue. But you were in Dallas last week?
Right.
And?
And what?
Well, I mean, did you meet anybody in Dallas last week who you knew back in high school?
Yeah, my friend Rick.
Your friend Rick?
Yeah, and another guy named Lanny.
Did you meet any chicks in Dallas at all?
No.
So there wouldn't be anybody
Just the Coors girls at Strokers.
At Strokers?
Listen,
what a great name. What a great name for a bar.
Here's the thing about my brother. He has
Strokers is a bike shop. Ice House is the bar.
Oh, Strokers.
My brother has his foibles and his faults, as we all do, but he has a good heart, and he's a loyal guy. And he was rightly upset that he goes on the site, and someone's saying that he's like screwing her, in essence.
Right.
Someone in Dallas is saying that he's screwing her.
Right.
So he just wanted to give Jimmy the opportunity to give his side of the story. And his side of the story is?
I don't know who it is.
Well, do you have any suspicions who it might be?
He does.
No, I don't.
Now, hold on. You said that there was one girl in Dallas that didn't like you.
Yeah, there was an old girlfriend that's living down there. There's a bunch of people from high school that are living down there.
Okay. So there are some people that, some women that are down in Dallas that might have an axe to grind.
There might, yeah, there's one woman from high school that I know for sure is down there.
And by reading, you've read some of these threads, right?
Yes, I have.
And by reading that, do you have any suspicions as to who it might be?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Huh. No.
Okay. All right, well, listen, I just wanted, I know we chatted about it. I want to give you the chance to, because I know you're a good guy.
Yep.
Anything else you have to say on the matter?
No, not really. Just wish people wouldn't be writing about me.
Well, you know what they're going to say, Jimmy? Now, here's what they're going to say. They're going to say you're fair game because you're on the show sometimes.
Right, right.
I've had to, Frida dealt with that. Bart dealt with that. Janet deals with that. Everybody does. If you don't want to be part of the show at any time, all you got to do is tell me. And I certainly didn't mean for our fan site to cause you any discomfort. Not my intent. Okay. I love you, and I love having you as my brother. I love having you on the show.
Okay.
Well, now what? What, faggot? I mean, what do you want? What do you want? You want to go out down the back and fight like when we were kids?
Yeah.
No.
Out the backyard.
Come on, deal with my emotion.
We'll see who's in better health.
Deal.
Hey.
Hello, Black Lung. I win 10 times out of 10. All I got to do is kick you in your lung. That's cold.
Can you kick him in the lung?
You don't know how cold that is.
Right.
I apologize. I apologize.
Okay.
All right. Well, dude, I would urge you not to go and post on that website.
No, I don't.
Because I know, at one point, didn't you used to post, though?
I posted back when after Frida died.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, be careful with that, Jimmy, because...
Right, right.
Yeah, it's a weird line.
A lot of crazies out there.
All right, dude. All right, well, hang in there.
Okay.
Don't let that crap upset you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Bye, dude. In my brother's defense, I got to tell you, I don't think he was being cagey like Rob was on Friday when I was yelling at Rob. I know my brother. He's really pissed about it. Not a lot of stuff really pisses him off.
I would be, too. I mean, that's somebody that's he's throwing out some pretty serious allegations there.
He's pretty pissed. I mean, as silly as it sounds.
He gets real pissed. Isn't there a way of finding out maybe who that person was?
Well, they've already uncovered it on the... Hold on, but Yanni, here's Yanni. Yanni.
I'm trying to get her to call the show so she can tell us what she really meant.
Oh, boy.
Really?
How did you find a phone number?
I haven't found a phone number yet. I have some insiders on that site that I'm working with.
Exactly.
All right.
Because it's the little brains on that site. Mm-hmm. See, the way that they threaten people on the Internet is on our fan site in particular. Mm-hmm. If they don't like you, they gang up on you, and they announce, like, hey, we can find out where your IP address is. And that's how I realized the woman was from Texas. Jimmy said to me, read page 2.
It sounds to me like maybe this woman may know who Jimmy is and is just getting on that fan site to cause trouble. Especially if he hasn't had any contact with anybody.
And I don't doubt that, 27 years ago he treated her like trash.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what man didn't treat a woman like trash 27 years ago?
That's a very interesting thing that there would be that much anger in somebody who would be
still that bitter that would want to get on a website and cause that. But that, once again, there again lies the anonymity and the ability to go on and do whatever you want.
You're right, Mike. Most women don't carry grudges. They're usually just quick to let it go and move on.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm surprised Carrie's not in Texas. Sounds like some trick.
But didn't you spend another weekend alone?
She'll be home Wednesday.
Wednesday
morning.
Ah, you sure?
Yeah. Well, that's
the plan. You're a big mathematician. You got to start carrying a calculator around it. We have to estimate the percentage of the year that you spend.
Do you know what I've always said?
Would be over 50% right now.
Don't dissect happiness.
Don't question.
Do you ask why a beautiful snow falls?
No, I don't.
No, you just accept.
You ask why the wife takes the kids and goes to her mom.
That's right. Packs up her eggs and hits the road.
Do you think it's over 50%?
It has been of late. Yeah.
Wow.
I miss my kids.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun look.
Oh, that was very nice.
Very nice.
Mrs. Spiewak is something of a disciplinarian, she'll take care of him.
My man, JPS, is calling back.
Oh, man, I wanted to talk to you off air.
Off air? Okay. Can I talk to you if I just pick up the phone?
Or do you...
If it won't be on the air, yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
All right, Don is now going to take a call from Jimmy.
This is
all new to me. I'm not aware of any of this YouTube buzz. I mean, we don't know what's going on. We're not really sure what's happening, but it's interesting. And obviously,
John.
Serious allegations from a mystery woman on the fan side.
Is Jimmy listening right now?
Oh, John requests that you don't... Yanni?
John.
Yes?
Jimmy requests that you don't put this in the recap of today's show.
All right, I'll take it out right now.
What? Okay. Because his wife reads it.
Wow.
And he doesn't want his wife getting upset. Or
sure.
Jimmy, you could have said that on the air.
No sense stirring up.
You got it, Jimmy.
Trouble.
No problem. Okay.
All right. I will hold.
Taken care of.
Because he said someone will write about it. And,
right.
Okay. All right. All right, dude. Bye.
No sense in picking a scab.
No. No real need.
Yeah.
Nope. Not at all.
Ever forward.
Oh, Christ.
It's a crazy world we live in.
Master Jack. That's a song.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Does Jimmy listen on the internet, too?
It's a strange, strange world we live in. Master Jack.
Captain Jack will get you high tonight.
Two Jacks and a Jill sing that song. It's
Jack and Diane.
Jack and Jill by radio. Are we playing the Jack game or
the musical Jack game? I think
musical Jack. Tell you what, Jack.
How bad you want me to get, Jack?
Hey, Jack.
If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Okay, well
I was pretty much finished with Jack and Diane.
That's an exciting view into
sure was
into my home life.
So Jimmy doesn't want it a recap, but it's okay if John pursues the.
I'm gonna have to talk to Jimmy about that during the break.
Sure, get some to him.
Get what I'm saying?
I totally do.
No, listen, I dig where my brother's coming from on this. I mean, listen, as jive as it sounds, he is proud of me. He likes going to the websites. He likes going to our website. He likes the podcast. He likes everything about it. I can understand dude doesn't want his wife. I mean, you know.
Of course.
I wouldn't,
who
you
does?
Know. I wouldn't, although.
I mean, especially because 99.9% of stuff you read on these things is crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Now they're going to get mad at me again. Now they're going to get all mad at me again.
Of the internet in general.
I was speaking of the internet in general. Right. I really think, well, my God, I mean, we've been warned about that for years.
Yes.
Hotel employees, Jack.
I will tear their keyboard out by the roots. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Anyway, it's my humble opinion that my brother's not fair game. Even though I mention him on the show and occasionally he appears on the show, he's really not fair game. You know, I'll give you this. Frida, when she was alive, was fair game because Frida was on the show all the time. Guys used to call in all the time and scream and say, I hate your wife. I hate the fact your wife is on the show. Your wife's voice drives me crazy. I always allowed those calls through, and Frida, it was always part of the deal. Now, Bart, we would put Bart on the air when he wanted to be on the air, and people are generally cool about that. You know, I can't ask anybody to respect my privacy, my family's privacy, if I'm going to talk about stuff on the air, but that's the only way I know to connect with the audience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd say to the audience, don't be dicks.
Right. You know, please don't be dicks.
You know, I mean, if you want to write bad stuff about me, God knows, you've honed and refined that to an art. I mean, over the last 48, 36 hours, my God, there could be a novel written on all the websites. I can really take it. I'm fine. Even though I talk about my family, they are not fair game.
Nobody's family is. And I think that's a pretty decent rule to live by. I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I think that anybody, certainly on much larger levels of celebrity than people that do a little radio show.
And there's people on the fan site.
I think people feel the same way. Like, you know, when it comes to family, it's a different story.
Here's what I would say to the people on the fan site. If you got a post like that from someone who's alleging that she had whatever, a friendship, whatever, with my brother, and that it is currently going on, if you're really a fan site, you're not CNBC, you're not CNN, you're not journalists.
Right.
You're running a freaking fan site. If you're fans of the show, don't write something, don't allow a post on. And again, I can take it, even though I bitch about it, go ahead.
Right.
You know, I'm Teflon like that, I can take it. But I say this to the moderators on that board. You know, yeah, Jimmy's not fair game.
No, absolutely not.
And you could have taken care of this from day one by saying, oh, this is a thread about Jimmy that includes a dicey topic. If you just delete the post, no one ever knows.
That'll be the end.
You know, but then they will get their panties in a wad again about, well, free speech, and we're not zombies, and we'll say whatever we want, and you know, Don wants us to be mindless and be all ass kissing all the time. No, I don't. I really don't. Just please
be reasonable.
Just leave my brother out of it.
Yeah, it's there's an ability that is the control, isn't it? The moderators that can kind of control.
Yeah. You bet.
The flow of that, and if it is a fan site, and it is, as they say, a based on love of the show, which that's what they also say, then cut us some slack. I think that's fair to ask for that.
I'm sure their argument will be free speech, and our argument will be F you. I mean, we really don't have much of an argument except F
right.
you.
It's a pretty good one.
Well,
advantage you, I think, on that one.
Uh-huh.
Winning. <F you. laughs> I believe Ben Franklin said that.
How about Control Alt Delete F you?
I mean, also very good. Mm-hmm.
He's my little brother and he's a retard and everything, but it's that thing. I can call him a retard.
Right.
Okay?
Right. You mean he's retired?
No, Mike. No, no, Borat. I mean,
very nice.
I mean, he's retarded. He's retarded, and he likes to watch women make bathrooms,
make toilets.
God damn, is that movie great?
Yeah. That movie's going to be in your vernacular for a long time.
All you got to do is think about that movie for 1 second,
right?
And
right.
you go, okay, hold on. Funny. Funny, and you know what I'm thinking about right now? Hold on.
I don't know why I'm thinking about that one.
I know why you're thinking. And I wasn't even looking at you, and we were thinking
the same
thing, right?
That's a tiny throwaway.
No.
That's what it's also. It's got a million tiny throwaways in it.
But I think when we see it a second time.
Yeah, that's the one that we will look for.
It will be highlighted.
Sure.
Yeah. There are parts of that, this Borat movie, that are just beyond description with no censorship at all.
That is a beautifully twisted mind that just is going, going 100 miles an hour when he's generating this stuff. And man, don't think for a minute that there wasn't a tremendous amount of thought put into that thing.
Oh, sure.
Because there really, really was.
Carefully planned.
Okay, that's it for the internet today. Okay.
Right. The wonderful internet.
Have a good time out there, fans.
Money fans?
Money fans.
Everybody to go to this website, it is... No, I'm not going to. No, I won't.
And that's Jive, too. I mean, yeah, if you're going to have a site, get some sponsors. If you're going to have a site about the show, do what you want me to do. Take the good with the bad.
Hey, they have a lot of people that visit it. I saw that in one of those little columns.
Yes.
I'm sorry. They put the number of
hits.
And that's why you get that's why you get a free pass.
Because right.
People think that you don't ever, that you can't navigate.
Well, I do go to it. I just, obviously, I didn't get it that deep,
Right.
I didn't even know that other website had a picture of me on it. I don't know where the hell you found that.
On the front page.
I looked on the front page.
I looked on the front page.
Don't laugh at me. As soon as he told me, I went up there and I ran. I hit my shin. On the steps, running up the stairs so fast.
And about that, I don't disagree. I think Mike is Robin Williams. I think Mike is Martin Short.
And I don't, but I also think that, you deserve your props as well.
I'll say this as well.
And you know what? We both have been doing that. We've done that better in the last few years than we've done in years past, that we give each other props. And you know what? Really? I could do that for 30 days in a row. And it really, I say this with complete respect. Let me just finish.
Could today be the first day?
This is, I really contribute what I contribute to this show, and I'm allowed to do it every day. But really, when I'm doing it by myself, that really isn't me. It's not what I'm about. I like hitting and running. I like doing that. I like sitting back and having the opportunity to punctuate something you say or, go off on a little tangent. I don't mind talking about myself. I don't mind. But you know what? It isn't what I do, and it's not something that is in my comfort zone. And believe me, it is not it's not a picnic when that happens. It is a puckered ass. Well, I hope I can say that on the radio. It is a puckered ass.
Very nice.
Because really, it's just not who I am. I don't do that. And really, I hope that people realize that the kind of radio that you do. This is not meant to sound sanctimonious or anything, but it is a bit. I think I realize when I do that, it's a bit of a sacrifice. I mean, to be thinking 24/7 about, how much of yourself you lay out there. And if you want to be, get on somebody or yell at somebody or something, there's an awful lot of you that you kind of lay out there for everybody to see that none of us, not Rob, not Buzz, not John or anybody, lays out there for everybody to see. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Occasionally, no problem at all. But no, a habit, it's just not my cup of tea. It's not what I want to do.
Pretty hard.
If you want to see who I really am, come out and drink with me some night.
And like I said in the very opening, I mean, I've said this about Mike for the longest time. People who think I have no brains, what do you think? I'm smarter than you think. I've surrounded myself with fantastically talented people, and it would be against my own personal interests to muzzle them.
There has never been a time. If I had something that went down in my life where I came and I said, I came to you and I said, I gotta talk about this.
Never.
That I've ever been restricted and not had a chance to come and talk about that kind of stuff, And it's all by degree. It's all by, and if it's something that that anybody, feels strongly enough, I think that everybody's got a forum on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Everybody has it.
Except Rob.
Well, no.
Rob has no privilege.
If I lose a relative, you let me talk. So it's okay.
Oh, God. All right, touche.
That is nice. Funny.
Touche.
Wow, man.
Touche.
Wow, man.
Touche. Is this Leah Remini?
What?
No, not on the phone.
I'm sure it is.
It says on Oprah.
Oh.
Fat Kirstie Alley was wearing a bikini today on Oprah.
Well, here's the thing. They had a quick little segment about her going shopping with her bikini, and she took along two of her really great friends.
Oh, so Leah Remini was on Oprah.
Is Cal a Scientologist?
Yeah.
Yes,
Kirstie Alley is a Scientologist.
It explains it now.
Yeah.
Explains it.
I still would like to see. Well, I'll have it. It'll be TiVo for me when I get home.
She's counting around with the fat nun, that Kathy and that Jimmy.
Yep.
Who lost all that weight.
Oh, Peggy Hill.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, gotcha.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Yeah, because that was the big news today, that Kirstie Alley was going to come out in a bikini on the Oprah show.
I'd like
show.
To see it. Yeah. I'd like to see it. I still have the steaming undies for Kirstie Alley.
I'd like to see Kirstie Alley in the hotel scene. As the other guy.
Yeah. I'd pay to see that.
But there's not much difference.
I'd pay to see that big time. I really, really would.
There's not much difference.
Yeah.
Have you called Jenny yet? Have you called Jenny yet?
She's another one with a vish, and I'm one to say, but she's got the vish, like, gravelly voice.
Yeah. Yeah, she's had that for a long time.
Yeah, it's squeaky. Have you called Jenny yet?
Maybe she'll be better when she loses the weight.
You can eat...
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Mike hurt himself.
You can eat chocolate cake. Chocolate cake! You can eat chocolate cake! And meatballs! Have you called Jenny yet? Come on, Leah! Come on, Leah!
Hold on. What's her name? What are you doing?
Kirstie Alley.
Have you called Jenny yet? Chocolate cake!
Let's go to Auntie Annie's.
Are you eating Auntie Annie's pretzel?
You style that away for future reference.
I'm Kirstie Alley.
Killer, killer Kirstie Alley.
Jesus.
Killer Kirstie Alley.
Thank you.
Oh, John?
Thomas.
Hi.
Would you please leave that last part about Kirstie Alley out of the recap?
Got it, no problem.
Thank you. I understand. Thank you. I completely understand.
We got a break.
Okay, everybody, we'll be right back.
I got a fart.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, it's time for a gross out award.
Oh boy.
Here's Roseanne. Here's Roseanne talking about bathing.
I don't do anything. I never shower or anything unless I'm on TV. Like right before, I never wash my face and very seldom my hair. Seriously.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Seriously.
I don't do anything. I never shower or anything unless I'm on TV. Like right before, I never wash my face and very seldom my hair. Seriously.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Accidentally making their audience smarter. The Don and Mike Show.
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
Very nice.
Very nice.
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
All right, so I just saw on Johnny's computer the picture of Kirstie Alley in her bikini on Oprah. Baby got back. Uh-huh. Here's the thing.
How's the front look?
It's hard to tell. It's a front-on shot, and she's wearing some kind of a wrap.
Not fair.
Now, it does show her tatas.
Yeah.
But
how are they looking?
It's hard to tell.
I have the steaming undies for Kirstie Alley.
It's hard to tell. Mike, she has thunderous thighs. Listen, I know this is real fast. You were just outside at the Cancer Corner.
Right.
Just run back to John's computer real fast.
Okay.
And just take a look at the picture. Well, Robbie?
You wouldn't visit that alley?
That's a dark alley.
It is a very dark alley, but you know what? I think I would. I was looking at it as well. The legs are pretty good. They're not small.
No. The thighs. You know what? It looks like Larry Johnson from the Kansas City Chiefs. Really.
And he's beautiful, too.
She has the big, thunderous thighs. If I was Jenny Craig, I might be screaming, give me my money back from the waist down.
All right. Now, I am the biggest fan. I think anybody here.
You just saw her on the Oprah show?
Those are Akbar legs.
Thank you.
I mean, she's got a ways to go, but hey, I congratulate. I mean, she was massive, so you got to give her credit for what she's done.
She still is massive.
But boy, oh boy, you know.
Well, you know what? Give me a second.
I think it's a good alley.
I still think she's hot.
Here we go. Kirstie Alley.
She's funny. I mean, that happens.
Right.
This is very Elvis-like.
Okay.
Oh, no.
You got to like this. Kirstie Alley, this is some hype about her being on Oprah today with a bikini on.
All right.
What makes a family shopping list is only part of the daily diet that ballooned Kirstie Alley from a buxom beauty to fat actress.
Right.
She says, quote,
with abandon.
Crohn's.
My Crohn's, they have the delicious orange slices dipped in chalk. 26, 27... 28,000 calories a day.
Whoa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Whoa.
Here's an average dinner. And I must use the Elvis voice for this, for Kirstie
Alley. This is when she was gaining the weight. This is an average dinner for her.
A steak.
Okay. Normal.
Half a loaf of French bread. Mm-hmm. 6 cups of pasta. Yeah. 20 sugar-free popsicles.
Oh, dear.
And a dozen grape sodas.
And an entire cherry pie.
Is that not Elvis-like?
Or an entire cherry pie.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I like that she got her protein in there with the steak. I think that's a good thing.
Now, hold on. I do not want to forget the fact that you fell off the wagon, but I do think that you'd like to hear the cougar story first.
I would love to hear the cougar story.
Yeah. You know, I'm so happy that Mr. Man is back in town.
Uh-huh.
Bart is
you said cougar at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Yes.
Back for his fall break from Clemson University. He's got to go back tomorrow for classes. Be back around Thanksgiving time.
Right.
So he's got like 5 days and he's been here and it's really been great because...
this is when he totally chills out, right? He just comes back and relaxes.
And things could not be better. I'm so proud of him and he's doing great.
Good.
And he's cool with Janet and everything is just working out spectacularly.
Good.
I'm very, very happy.
true.
And he's been going out with his friends. And, you know, he's 21 now, so it's kind of, you know, c'est la vie.
Right.
Just let me know where you're going to be. So it turns out Friday night is first night in town, and I was really sick. I mean, this flu thing that I had, I only wish this on my worst enemy. I had it coming out of both ends.
I was, you know, you didn't get into that. I was going to ask you that. So it was.
It was
both sides.
Yeah, it was, and it was.
Do you think
like it was? The only way this violent diarrhea.
Do you think you had a reaction to the shot?
The doc at the 24-hour ANOVA Center,
right,
I went to because I had high fever, said no.
No.
Said that's bunk. That's a wives' tale.
That was in your body beforehand.
That I was probably sick before. So,
okay.
Very long story short, Bard knew that I was sick. Said, hey, I know it's my first night in town. Do you mind if I go out with my friends?
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. Knock yourself out. So, calls me, says, I'm going to be out most of the night. I'll see you tomorrow, meaning Saturday.
Right.
Because he and Janet and I were going to go to the movies. So he shows up, and he doesn't look banged up or anything.
Good.
But he comes to the door, and he has a, you know, the grin like the cat that just got away with something.
The Cheshire cat.
And he says, Dad, I got to tell you what happened last night. And, you know, as always, I'm bracing for the worst.
Right.
You know, and he says, no, you're going to love this. He and his best buddy, this guy's been his best friend for a long time, went down to Adams Morgan,
which
is a very happening spot in D.C.
Very trendy location, bar location.
Downtown D.C., big meat market area.
Mm-hmm.
Also, good idea to lock your doors down there.
All over D.C. now, they've had a bit of a crime situation.
Just a hint from me to you.
I advise it.
Lock your doors.
Okay.
All doors. Car doors, house doors.
Windows up.
Windows up.
Back door.
Absolutely.
Yeah, watch that.
So, here's a bar... Relaying of the story is, he and his friend, who are also 21, they're in a bar. Now, as it turns out, they're not drinking. They're very conscious about the time and everything else.
Right.
But they're hanging out, and let's face it, they're looking for chicks.
Sure.
Okay? Seeing what happens. He says a couple of cougars come over and sit down, and one of the cougars says to Bart, how old are you? And he says, 21. And she said, you look just like Tucker Carlson.
Okay.
Now I gotta
was
say,
he wearing a bow tie?
He was. I saw Tucker Carlson on TV today wearing a regular tie.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe it's with the election cycle and all that.
I think it's Bart's new haircut. He got a slightly shorter haircut.
Okay.
So I think she meant it as a compliment. And he said that he danced with her. And while they were dancing, that she said to him, I'm just paraphrasing here. She said, as our bodies move, and as we dance, I want you to picture God coming into our lives and God being a part of us. So
Bart, she's certifiable.
So Bart said that he was a little flipped out, and they got done with the dance, and they went back to the table. There were two.
It's kind of an arts community there.
So there are two cougars that have approached my son and his friend.
Do we have an estimate on the age? Because really, cougars...
Give me that, yes.
Okay.
One of them was 42. One of them was 35.
All right. Wow. Okay.
Now,
so he's, as far as his age is concerned, he's going for real cougar territory there.
Right. So what they do is there are these two chicks that have already approached them and said, hey, you're nice boys. What are you doing sitting here drinking Coca-Cola? Well, let's party it up a little bit.
Right.
So they have a drink and they start dancing, and then she says the stuff about God. They go back to the table and they switch off. Bart dances with the other one.
Right.
And his best friend dances with the one that Bart danced with. That's
so the other one say, have you ever followed Satan?
No. I don't know what the one that Bart danced with, but they get back to the table, they go to the bathroom. The girls go to the bathroom.
Sure.
And Bart says that his best friend said to him, do you know what that woman said to me when we were dancing? And Bart thinks that he's going to say, yeah, that she's real into God. She said to him, I want you to think that every time we take a dance step, that we are making love, and that you are deep. And that I am, and I mean, it was very explicit, like almost like you would describe riding a horse.
Whoa!
So Bart said,
I like that.
So yeah. Bart said, he's sitting at the table like,
meanwhile, he gets the God speech.
He's like, hold on, wait a minute. What am I, chop liver? I go out and dance with her, and she brings God into it. You go out and dance with her, she wants to jump in your pants. So it was at that time they decided, at least for that part of the night, the pairing had been made.
Yes.
That this one was going to be with his friend, and he was going to continue to party and dance with the other one.
With the other one.
Now, the other one's 35. She really likes Bart. She's the one that said he looks like Tucker Carlson.
Right.
They're dancing, and I don't want to say they're dirty dancing, but they're dancing. And at one point, she whispers to him,
how old do you think I am? And he said, 22.
He's a charmer.
And she said, no, 35. And I have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
Three kids.
I admire her honesty for, you know, laying that on him right up front.
Yeah.
That did not deter my boy. It did not deter him. They continue to dance with these two cougars. And I guess through the night, the cougars are getting more touchy and more friendly.
Right.
Came to be closing time. Lights come up. Cougars say, how would you like to come back to our place to continue this evening?
Wow.
Bart said, and this is great, said, what about your kids? I'm just picturing my kid, my son.
Right.
Saying,
well, way to go, a responsible young man.
What about your kids? She says, no problem. They are at their dad's.
Wow.
So, now you got the moment of decision. But you've got these two, and I use the word loosely, adults, because they're both 21.
Right.
Two 21-year-olds walk it out. I believe what happened was that they got in the car and said, we'll follow you. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, they just said, when it was just Bart and his friend alone in the car, said, can you really picture us going back and, like, getting it on with these two cougars? And they said, no.
So they didn't want to close the deal.
I think it may have been that...
They obviously were attractive women. Or were they not attractive women? Did he ever give you an indication of that?
I was not able to get that.
A cougar is often on the cusp of that, of being attractive or not.
I think the way
that's in your upcoming book, isn't it, Dr.
It's
Spack?
It's all in the book.
Right.
The way my son described them, yes, they were hot. And I think...
On the cusp.
And I think that they both... Frankly, it was like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, they're in D.C. and Adams Morgan, and they're going to, what, follow two strange middle-aged, in their opinion,
was
women.
There any fear of the fact that if they went back to this path, they might be chopped up into little pieces?
Well, I do believe that probably they did wonder, like, about baby's daddy.
Sure.
You know, I mean, because after all, these are two women, and I guess one of them had been talking about how she had been having
Or they go back and they recreate a scene from the movie Hostel.
Oh,
might be a little scary that way. Yes, we live in a, it's a warehouse district. Just come down this flight of stairs.
So I said, well, how did you guys spend most of the night? He said, oh, you know, Dad, we sat at the table, the four of us, and like, you know, they were playing with my hair and stuff.
Right.
And like, they were, and I'm just picturing like these old women with the cragged out hands. And, like,
hand on the knee.
The baked on tan going, you know. You look like Tucker Carlson.
I keep picturing Judith Light from Who's the Boss.
Hey, but Judith Light, even for a, you know, a 21-year-old, that's not that bad a deal.
Yeah, but not when she shaved her head for that cancer movie.
I thought that made her sexier than ever, Rob.
I didn't like that at all.
Judith Light?
Sexy, shaved head, sexy.
When you're a young guy, you're a little charged up anyway.
Sure.
Bonus. That's why cougars have that kind of success.
That's right.
Anyway, my boy's a gentleman, or his friend's a gentleman. Either way, one of them,
between them. But they made their escape.
Voice message system.
Bart.
A great tone of indifference of a 21-year-old.
Bart.
Isn't that great? Like, what?
Right.
Hi, Kirstie.
Can I come back with John again?
How old are you?
I'm 35.
Goddamn, your thighs are huge, Kirstie.
They are. Have you called Jenny yet? Hi, Bart.
He's not at home either.
This is your number one cougar.
Too bad.
He's out with his friends. But I tell you, I laughed. We sat and we laughed. We had a good father.
So they actually were going to, you know, go through with this, and then they just made an editorial decision.
Yeah. Now, they both absolutely knew that it would be a notch on the old belt.
Sure.
They could put it in their bag.
Another time.
Put it up on the stat sheet.
Yeah, that seems to be, women are kind of tending to go for the younger men. That's what they seem to do.
So all weekend, whenever we would be out, if we went to the movies, or we'd just screwing around, I would just see someone, hey, Bart, how about her? And I would pick women that look like, you know, the lady in that old...
the feminist?
Yeah. Oh, okay. From Borat, yes. Yeah,
any of the feminists? And really, any of the women at the table at the pastor's house?
Yes.
It wasn't the pastor's house. It was somebody else's house, right. But any of the women there.
Again, we're referencing the movie Borat.
Yes.
You should see it again.
And I'm thinking again as we're talking about it,
how I want to go back and remember how he references one of those when he says, the man said.
Oh, no, it's something he says.
He's doing the narration.
I don't want to talk to you. She is using a man voice. Is that what he says?
I think he actually calls her a man.
An old man. He calls her an old man.
The old man.
I didn't want to talk to the old man anymore.
And here's just one more that I know we can give away. What is it that he says to Representative Alan Keyes, who is black? He says,
Buzz, you had it about the chocolate.
It wasn't to him. The line that we're talking about now is actually earlier in the movie. He's referring to someone who's as real chocolate face, no makeup.
a brother.
His Kazakhstan way of saying.
Oh, you know, and now it really, that's the mark of a great comedy, because you keep thinking about little scenes where you have to see it again and again. Yeah.
And
the movie's going to make an amazing amount of money.
Here's what's sad is that of everybody on the show here, me, Mike, Buzz, Joe, John, Rob, everybody saw it except Rob.
And Rob will love it.
And without giving it away, aren't the first 5 minutes
yes.
right up his alley?
For him, yes.
I mean,
you'll unhinge your jaw.
Yeah.
You will unhinge your jaw.
You will never look at a baby chick the same way.
that's fine. You're not blowing anything.
I'm not giving anything away.
That's fine.
I think I need to. You know, my wife is out of town.
Yeah. You know what?
I really.
You know what? Your big load. What else you got to do? You certainly don't produce this show. We have no guests today, so you could go see the movie.
Okay. So are you like solo tonight?
Yeah.
You don't.
Yes, I am.
But you don't want to go see it tonight, do you?
Well, the football game is on tonight. There's beer in my fridge.
That's the key.
That's a beer.
He is a creature of habit.
There's no beer at the theater. That's the name of my book.
He's a creature of habit.
There's no beer in this theater. No birthday party for me.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if there was beer in all theaters?
Good beer. Well, you can go to those theaters. Unfortunately, they show like...
They don't have... They didn't explode like they were supposed to where...
Cinema
you know,
Moon Draft House?
Well, yeah. Not Cinema Moon Draft House. They were actually...
It was a higher... A higher end.
Right.
You could actually like have a mixed drink and have...
Waiter service and stuff like that.
Foo-foo food and
exactly.
stuff like that. But
right.
It was like foo-foo-fooey because nobody wanted to pay for it.
There's a couple around.
Oh, and about pay. Oh, my God. I'll have to save this till tomorrow. But I had... Remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that ridiculous DirecTV thing?
Mm-hmm.
You can get every channel for $7,500 a year,
right.
Enough to buy a car with, for God's sake.
Right.
I had a very interesting discussion with my DirecTV representative about what an incredible ripoff the titanium package is.
Yeah, amazing.
And
they'll find that out quickly, too.
Listen, you know what? I'll write this down for tomorrow because it involves porno. I finally got the guy from DirecTV to admit to me that it's really only of value if you watch the porno channels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll save that
it's
for tomorrow.
It's all about the porn.
Yeah. Save that for tomorrow.
Wow. And I predict that will fail miserably, that little experiment. But it doesn't matter if it fails because
they're fine.
Yeah, they're making plenty of money.
Yeah,
they're doing all right.
Do they still let you subscribe to just Playboy as a premium channel?
I think they do.
Yeah.
I think you can actually get Playboy all the time.
All right, well,
and now Playboy gives you a little of the real stuff once in a while.
They didn't used to.
They didn't used to, right.
Not enough. Well, tomorrow...
Nearly enough.
Rub myself with a... Tell you about it. Because it was a real fight I had with DirecTV. Because the guy was treating me like a Nimrod. And there's no way I'm going to pay... Are you kidding me? $7,500 for a year of programming on DirecTV? Who the freak is going to spend that?
It pays for itself if you watch the porno channels every day. And it pays for itself if you literally... watch every single movie again and again and again. If you priced it out, it would be, if you got all the pay-per-views, you watched all the movies twice.
Can I, let me just save it for tomorrow, because I want to tell you his responses to my DirecTV concierge, who I finally broke down and got to admit exactly what's going on.
Oh, really?
And I'll follow that up tomorrow.
It's just a total ripoff.
By telling you about
Can't wait.
I forgot to tell you about it was like ordering porno on the telephone when the website didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
That was also equally embarrassing, but that'll be for tomorrow because Mike, you know, as always, I do nothing except try to get in your way so you cannot get your say on the show.
I understand.
And I've been doing it. Goddamn, it's been hard work for the last two and a half hours to speak without letting you speak about your weekend.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, spotlight on my buddy right there, Robin Williams, Martin Short.
Shut up.
But you are.
I fell off and it involves...
Wagon Trail.
It involves one guy... And I'm going to ask for people's help because I don't know whether he was famous or not.
Okay.
Because he said he was. He said he was on a TV show.
Everybody.
And he had a British accent.
Everybody loves Mike falling off the wagon.
That's a show you watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it the office?
No, no. This is the much lower down the food chain. This is Trading Spaces.
Oh, what's his name?
It's been canceled. I don't know what his name is. I don't remember what his
British
name is.
Anyway, just
And it also involves somebody you know, too, who I never met, who I was told was going to maybe be in the joint. And,
okay, well,
that's why I went the second night, a football guy.
All right, let's say this. We'll come right back. Because remember, was it about a week ago that you said you weren't going to drink until Thanksgiving?
It was the day after that big night I had with the race car driver. Jenny Hamlin, who finished 10th, incidentally, and is still in the next Tell Cup race. Thanks.
Are you still not going to drink till Thanksgiving?
I am seriously about an inch deep and 10 miles wide. I really am. I'm trying to just figure out everything I can.
Did anybody else happen?
We had a little getaway. Carl and I had a little getaway down to Annapolis. And, you know, really, it just...
Hold on to that.
I used to live in Annapolis.
Oh. Whatever you can remember, hold on to it.
I remember. I actually remember a lot.
Oh.
We left relatively early both nights.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't have been tired if I hadn't, had alcohol during the day, too.
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. No, I don't remember that part.
I will undress you, and you will undress me.
Okay? Damn, you're very sexy. Do you have a boyfriend?
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Right. That was part of it.
Sure. Well, I love hearing about you falling off the wagon.
Yeah.
And I love that it in some way involves, like, with the NASCAR guy from before, you know, star effect in a way.
Totally, completely by accident, because the star, well, he wasn't a star, I don't even know who this guy was, but it was kind of an altercation. It began as an altercation.
Sure. Oh, it wasn't Ray, was it?
No, not the football guy.
Okay.
That team was the team you're talking about.
The Ravens?
Somebody you know.
Was it
higher up on the food chain.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but, no, but there was no contact.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to worry about me embarrassing you or anything.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about you. I'm
because
just
there was no... I mean, like we went back the second night because we were...
You didn't punch anybody, did you?
No. It's very, very peaceful. A little wobbly, you know, at first. You know, when we arrived the second night.
Okay, hold on. We'll come right back and we'll hear about night one and then night two.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, really, if anyone was counting on me staying on the wagon...
I apologize. Okay?
Okay.
Apologize.
Okay. No.
There, it's out there. He's apologize. Mike O'Mara.
Thank
and
you.
He approves of this ad.
I do indeed.
I apologize.
I apologize, everybody.
it's like a last-minute political commercial.
Yes.
You would see on tonight.
Did I have something to drink? I could have come in here and lied, but it would not be the right thing to do. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I approved of that drinking.
Now, get your goddamn yard sign out of my lawn.
We had a great weekend.
Good.
I mean, great.
Well, that's good.
Really, really good. Solid all the way through.
Good.
All the way. I mean, and I, as I said, maybe Rob can help or somebody can help, because I think maybe this guy was, unless he was lying to me, maybe he was on TV or he wasn't.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, and before we continue, how about everybody, I think, knows that Rob and I had a bit of a tiff on the air on Friday. I apologize about that. Everything is fine. And here's a little conversation Rob and I had directly after.
Yeah.
We had some words on Friday's show.
I've done nothing wrong.
Yeah. I want to tell you, this is Rob. Obviously, this is Rob speaking.
Right.
I've done nothing wrong. They arrest anybody they want. Jews are always playing the victim. But all this time... I'm the one who's been victimized.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Mr. Carroll, shut up, please. I want to call my son.
The Don and Mike Show. There's something about a head of mine.
Da-da-da-da-da. Hold on a second. God, I screwed everything.
I never knew that Rob thought you were Jewish.
They go together like cigarettes and chili. Don and Mike.
I want to talk to my son.
We're on the telephone right now. Hey, Barney.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, the Cougar story.
Yeah.
I think I told all the details. I got a call from the break during Bars.
Right.
Saying, did you?
During the break from Bars.
Yeah, what did I say?
He said, you got a call from the break during Bars.
Sorry. Backwards. Very nice.
Professor.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. And he said, were you talking about the Cougar thing? And that's all. I think I told it the way it happened. Anything you want? You know what? I think everybody...
I wasn't even listening, so I trust you had it under control.
I think everybody wanted to know the celebrities that the cougar is most resembled.
I think everybody kind of had a question as to the hot level of the cougars. You know, were they handsome older women or what?
Well, there was one handsome older woman who looked, I guess, like a slightly younger Gwyneth Paltrow.
Very nice.
Oh. Was she the one with three kids?
She's the one with two children, but she seemed reasonably sane.
Very nice.
Okay, and the one that you danced with that said something about God is dancing with us or something like that?
Yes, in order to truly feel the beat, I had to feel God.
I see.
Wow.
And I don't know a celebrity that she most resembled. She wasn't strikingly unattractive.
So as Buzz mentioned, perhaps she was on the cusp.
Yeah, on the cusp.
All right. Uh-huh. All right, bud. Good job. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you, too, Bob.
All right. Bye, buddy. Boy.
Bye.
It's that jungle out there. On the cusp. I really enjoy that expression.
Hey, John.
Really...
John? Yes. We can leave all of that in the recap.
Thank you.
Now, here we go. Let's talk to Mike about what happened. What happened over the weekend.
I fell off the wagon. I fell off the wagon.
Ouch.
And it wasn't anything that I really... Yeah, thank you. Oh, there's the old football clap. It was, look, Friday
Mike!
Night, got done,
Mike!
Hi, Mike, got done with the show on Friday. I had, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, you do an awful lot when you're getting this stuff ready. I find it a little taxing, and it was, you know, the end of a week. What a week. Oh, what a day. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned, before you got sick, I had mentioned to Carla that, you know, with everything that we've been dealing with, a lot of stuff with work and everything, I want to do a getaway weekend. I want to get out of Dodge. I don't want to hang around my joint. I just want to get out of town and really, you know, maybe we'll plan something really special, or maybe we'll just get in the car and leave. And I got home Friday night and I said, you know what?
You're a crazy easy rider like that.
Well, rarely do I do it. I really don't do it enough. And I said, you know, before we do that, really, it's been my experience just to hop in a car and drive somewhere. You end up at some Roach Motel somewhere, and it's not fun. So I checked this one place that we were going to go to, and they were sold out, like a lot of places would be. And then I said, well, what about maybe Annapolis? I used to live in Annapolis. Why don't we just, you know, call the hotel down there by
Annapolis,
the water.
The capital of Maryland.
Yes, the capital of Maryland, sailing capital of the world. Why don't we do that? Call the hotel. They had a room. Bam. I said, let's get in the car. And what was great about it is it was a getaway, but it's a getaway that's in our backyard. So it's not really that far a drive.
Like an hour and a half.
And maybe this was in the back of my mind the whole time, but I said, I know a bartender down there, my friend Dave, who is, you know, bartended at this joint McGarvey's down there for a million years. It used to be my hang down there. That's where I would hang out all the time. Maybe he'll be there. And so we get down to the hotel. And so that thought was, you know, if he's there, I'm sitting there trying to lie to myself here. I'm not going to lie. I probably had no thought of not falling off. It wasn't like I was saying, oh, I better not. I think my thoughts were, yeah, what the hell? Let's go out and relax a little bit, have a good time. And if this guy is there, so the better. It'll be fantastic. And, you know, it's really cool when you don't see somebody for, man, it's got to be like a decade. You don't see somebody for that many years and to walk in and immediately have, you know, a connection with
the
guy.
And
I walked to the back bar. It was very crowded because it was probably 10:30, quarter of 11 before we even walked in there. And, you know, when you get the, I think the reaction was the hands went up in the air and he kind of looked down, which is really, that's my greeting from old friends. It's not something where it's like, hello! It's like they look up, they put their hands up in the air, and then they look down and shake their head. That's really how old friends are.
Shake their head ruefully.
Yeah, like, yes, exactly.
Like,
my God.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
The one-man party is here.
It's really kind of that, oh, my God, isn't that? And, of course, at that point, any thoughts of the chance of, you know, going without were completely out the window.
I'll drink to that.
You know, what am I going to do after I see this guy for 10 years? You know, right. am I going to terrify him by ordering his club soda? I'm not going to do that. So,
I would terrify him, Mike.
We ended up getting very, very festive for a very, very long time.
Code word, festive means drunk.
And, well, we didn't stay till closing, so I get credit for that.
Good,
you know,
right.
Thank you, Carla, for dragging me out of there at a relatively reasonable hour. And it was very, very crowded. And this guy is, he's an artist as a bartender. Watching him work, he handles a room, must be 200 people in this room, and he's flying. He's just one guy behind the bar, and he does it. He's the most he's the fat, one of the fastest bartenders I've ever seen. He's also one of the most impatient. So one of the funniest thing he does is that he'll put down two beers in front of somebody, and I see him do this with this obviously this college kid that was there, this girl who ordered a couple of beers for her and her friend, and he puts the beers down in front of her and he says, okay, $7.50, and she starts like this slow process of going through her purse and goes, $8.50. It's just, you know, that's the way he is. He's a cool guy, and I just want to give Dave a shout out because he really is a lot of fun. I like it. Now, during the course of the evening, he mentions that, you know, there might be that guy that owns the Ravens that comes in occasionally. And I said, hey, that's funny.
Steve Biscotti. I know, I screw up his name on purpose.
Said he hangs occasionally, and, you know, I said, well, you know, we're in town for both nights. Why don't we come back the next night, too, and that'll be an excuse. I don't have any other place that I would want to go hang out at. So we make those plans that we'll pop in and see him. He never ended up showing up, but it was an excuse to come back in.
Right.
And
so you use the fact that the owner for the Ravens might be at this bar on Saturday night.
Yeah, just to pop in and see, you know, because you knew the guy, and I thought that would be very, very cool to say hello. It never happened anyway, but we got out of town. Now, you would think that after a bit of a night on Friday night, we were just going. The plan was that we were going to wake up in the morning, and we're just going to walk around
and vomit.
We were going to wake up,
make bathrooms,
sleep in, have a nice little room service,
vomit, then sailing.
We were just going to go around and, you know, pop in a few shops and you know, really do nothing except chill, have a nice little lunch. And I wake up in the morning, and we get a great hotel room. We're right on the water down there. And I wake up in the morning, and I look out the window, and I see that in the harbor there's Coast Guard with the lights on and everything. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I say, this is unusual. And the last time that I had seen a scene like this, there'd been like a floater. You know, where I've been on a buddy of mine's boat where somebody actually went over, you know.
Dead body, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what's going on. And then I hear the PA system. What do you want to say? What the hell do you want to say?
When I hear floater, I think of something else. And I don't need the Coast Guard for that.
There were a few of those, too. There were a few of those, too. But I hear the, and I go to the window again, and, you know, in my gray condition, I slide open the door,
ashes,
and, you know, I struggle to put my pants and my t-shirt on, and I kind of sleepily at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. No, I sleepily go out on the porch, on the little balcony they have, and they're doing this announcement, and there's this, little reggae band that's playing down on the dock, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I foraged out into the lobby of the hotel and got one of those little magazines. They have one of those little entertainment newspapers.
Right.
And it turns out they're having a tug of war between Eastport and Annapolis. And I said, oh, this is very interesting. And I'm sitting out and I watch this tug of war and I can hear the PA and I'm enjoying this. And as I read further.
Okay, so now you're down in the lobby.
No, no, I've come back from the lobby and I'm sitting on the balcony.
On your balcony.
Watching this, just having a great old time. Okay. Carla's, you know, doing her thing of getting ready, which is, you know, usually a 2.5 to 3 hour process. Mm-hmm. And she's getting ready. And me, I don't care. You look at me. I don't worry really about how I look. You know, as long as I can, you know, get some of the filth off of myself, I'm fine. And I'm watching the tug of war, and I read further in this article that they are going to have a street festival that's going to be on the other side across the bridge over in Eastport. And I said, bingo. Now, this to me is weekend getaway, no plans, nothing going on, and all of a sudden there's a little street festival. I said, hey, there'll be food, there'll be drink, and we'll go over there and see what's going on and see if there's a band or anything. And there was all of it. They were there. They had a little street festival, and we walked over, and it's one of the charities that they were doing it for was the SPCA. So there are dogs everywhere, including a couple of full-grown Great Pyrenees dogs like the puppy I have.
Like the one you have.
And it terrified Carla because she sees what this dog is going to become probably within the year. It's massive. These dogs were absolutely huge. And they had finished the tug of wars when we got over there, and it was 1,700 feet. I think it's the longest tug of war in the world. And they, you know, it's one side of town. You know, it's the ye olde type of thing where they're like, you know, hey, the Maritime Republic of Eastport, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I was too far away to see that. And by the time we got over there, they had a band playing, and I'm getting a little excited. And, you know, hey, this is really, really cool. And we were going to really just stop over, maybe get a snack, and then head back over. But one of the things they had was this huge, it appeared to be a very long Airstream kind of trailer. But in the trailer was cut out a bar, and they had this this Bloody Mary bar that was set up there. Mm. And I said, you know, this is just, it's fall. Everybody's
fall.
And really, in fairness to me, Don,
it's fall, we all know what that is.
Everybody was tuning up. Okay, I mean, when we got there, which would have been, I guess, 1 o'clock or so. I'm not sure about the time. That gets a little wobbly.
Sure.
We were, you know, I said, hey, everybody's tuning up. What the heck?
Were you still gray?
I was not that bad, actually. I was actually,
okay.
I was feeling quite perky. I had made a controlled effort the night before.
So let's put a stop to that.
And the controlled effort was, the controlled effort allowed me to feel perky enough where I'm not a hair of the dog guy. I know that.
That's
I'm
why
not
I
a hair of
that.
The dog guy, but I said, man, it's fall. Everybody's festive. Everybody's got their dogs out. And everybody's drinking a beer or a Bloody Mary. And I said, well, might as well go with the hard stuff at 1 o'clock. And Carla wanted one too. And so Carla got a small one. I got a jumbo. And we were we had a few couple and then moved our way back over the bridge, and I think I'm not sure what I think Carla went upstairs to freshen up, and I stayed downstairs, and then we decided we'd go into the restaurant and have lunch, and what amazed me about Saturday was how little daylight I experienced, that it just seemed to me like we were up, and then the sun went down again.
Right? It's the time change.
That's exactly what the time change.
Not the fact that you got up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
We were up at a reasonable, I think 11:30-ish, 12, we might have ventured out. It was not that bad, but it just seemed like the clock on the wall was just flying because we went and went to have lunch. I had a very, very light lunch, ate some oysters, and ate some shrimp cocktail. And then we said, well, what do you want to do?
The celery didn't fill you up?
And what's that?
The celery from the drink didn't fill you up?
No, my tummy didn't feel really like doing anything except drinking at that point.
Sure.
And so we went into the little bar, and at the same time, there are all these weddings going on. There was a midshipman wedding. Now, my mom, her first husband, who was killed in World War II, was married in the Naval Academy Chapel. So I'm feeling just a little bit nostalgic about seeing these midshipmen that are walking around.
When your mom and dad come into it, that's when you really...
They were there with me
all weekend.
You know
what that is? That's the immediate trigger for Mike.
Yeah. And you will remember where we were, because that is also where I had my 30th birthday party.
Oh, that's
down
a good...
There.
Yeah.
That's the same location that we were at.
That's a hell of a spot.
I've got a lot of memories going on, and we spill over... some guy that was a salesman or something popped over and just said, do you mind if I join? And we just started chatting. And then about halfway through that, we determined we're really not going anywhere. We're probably going to stay right where we are. We had made a dinner reservation, which we were able to make it to dinner. We were able to make it to dinner. But about halfway through the conversation with this guy, one of the wedding receptions just spills into the bar. Now, for me, that's just, I call that fate. I call that fun, and I call that fate. And we're talking, you know, we're solving the world's problems. We're talking about politics. We're talking about the world, and you know, we're still tuning up, but not tuning up so much that we couldn't make it across the bridge again to have dinner. And by this time, Carl and I are both feeling a little bit logy. But I had promised my friend Dave that I'd stop in and see him again.
Sure.
And that's when we went back over to the back bar where he was tending bar, and I bump into this guy. We're trying to get seats where we were the night before, and it's very crowded, and it's very hard to get a seat. It's a small bar. I just don't feel like standing up. And I bump into this guy, and he said, excuse me, that's my receipt. You moved my stuff. I said, no, I just moved your beer. I didn't know you were there. No, you moved my receipt. I said... And then I think I used the British accent that he was using.
No.
Because he was pissing me off ever since
I said.
I think I said, no, I did not move your receipt. And and he said, and I calmed it down really very, very quickly. We'd had another thing where I had leaned against the bar and a lady had leaned into me, and I was just I was being the kind of customer that I wouldn't want to have in my own establishment.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
But not really bad. And then because of that, I would immediately say, hey, it's fine, you know, let's have a shot. And then move on to the next, that was very brief. We moved around. I mean, it really did. It was, in fact, one of the guys that was involved in this thing kind of gave me a wave when he was leaving. I didn't know who he was. The British guy, or he sounded like British Australian, had one of those dialects.
Could he have been Scottish?
I don't know what he was. I mean, he was, hold on.
Rob has a couple of pictures for you.
Nope.
You mentioned...
No, that is not the guy.
What about
is that? Is not the guy. No, that's not the guy.
Rob? Because he said there was a guy from Trading Spaces, and I thought I could
think that's
out
the
was.
Show he mentioned, and he said the show had been canceled.
Yeah, hold on.
He looked, you know, he looked a little bit like maybe Mario Van Peebles a little bit. He was kind of a
Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, yeah. So he was black.
Well, he was
in Mario Van Peebles. He's like mulatto.
I think so. I'm not sure. I'll
check the chart.
I wish I remembered the guy's name, but I ended up not talking to him for any length of time. I talked to him long enough to find out what he did, and then, you know, I was waiting for that guy maybe to show up from
the
Ravens,
right.
And that didn't happen, but it was just, you know, it was one of those evenings, and we left relatively early then, too, and but Sunday was not in any way the same way Saturday was. I didn't wake up nearly as perky, and, you know, we left at about 11 o'clock. What a day, and then proceeded to go home and just eat badly for the entire day.
Ah, perfect week.
Managed to stop at a Chinese restaurant, our favorite Chinese restaurant on the way home. It was a fabulous weekend. It was a great weekend, but I fell hard.
That's okay.
I fell like the kind of fall that you would have like in New Orleans or something, where you would just spend the whole weekend kind of
so what, eight or nine days on the wagon then?
It was eight or nine, yes. Uh-huh. Eight or nine.
Now are you going back on the wagon now that you've had your weekend?
I believe so, yes. Okay. I believe
Mike,
so.
I'm
yes.
here at the foot of the wagon,
mm-hmm.
and it's very comfortable off the wagon.
No, I think that, you know, I think
I'm
that,
right back here.
No, everything's Don's back here at the helm. Everything's cool. I think it's
going to
get back to normal.
You can string eight or nine more days together?
Easily, yes. I plan to. I certainly won't be doing anything like that this weekend. I have my kids, and I don't... celebrate like that when I have my kids. And besides, I'm going to a special motorcycle class this weekend, too. So it's with police officers.
You wouldn't
want to don't want to be drinking during that.
Drinking on your motorcycle.
Not sure you want to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to be...
When you're learning police techniques on a motorcycle, you don't want to be bombed.
You don't want to feel like Rob. Talk to Rob. He's there on the occasions when his kids are there. Pick up the phone and say,
oh, no.
What are you doing? Watching Abbott and Costello. Drunk Robin and his son watching Abbott and Costello.
Hey, you're going to see this invisible man.
Why is Daddy crying watching Abbott and Costello?
It's very sad. And you don't want to go into your class smelling like Joe did when he walked in today. Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
I got a whiff of Joe. Rob,
oh, Joe was
right?
At the game yesterday,
Rob
right?
said to me, yes, before the show, he said, right. when you get a chance, just go smell Joe. I said, what do you mean? He said,
I say that every day.
He said, just walk in the same room as him.
Oh, really?
So I went back there. And no, granted, this was 3 hours ago.
Right.
But you're goddamn right.
I mean, I walked back there before the show, and I'm tuned to this. I said, I smell beer. And I was looking around because I wanted some.
Wasn't that,
and,
everybody wants some.
And there was none to be had. And Joe said, could be me.
Just lick his arm.
I was at the game.
The game.
Oh, great game it was. Yeah. Great game.
Stayed till the end. And also, Joe's voice sounds real good today.
How are you?
Check it out.
Joe, how is your voice today?
He's on the phone.
Joe?
He's on the phone.
Oh, he's talking to a listener. Well, that's good.
I'm listening.
Yell for us, Joe.
Joe?
I'd sure like to know the name of that guy, too, Rob, but I neither one of those people.
Yes.
Were.
Yell, Joe.
Hi.
Rob says your voice is not at peak form today.
No, it's not. It's rather hoarse.
You were cheering for the Redskins?
Oh, man, what a party. I mean, game.
You know, I never do this, but even at the game yesterday, I was so infuriated. There were thousands of Dallas fans.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
And there was some ass in the beginning that was, like, standing up when it was, like, 3-2 or whatever the dumb score was, like, Cowboys! Cowboys! And I never do this. I stood up and said, sit down, ass! Go back to Dallas! And Dennis, like, what's up with you? And then we had a woman walk through our section... A sister.
Right.
Okay, now, baby got back. She should not be wearing spandex.
Right.
She does have spandex, and it appears that what she's done is something like you would do on a little kid's project for a costume. What she's done is taken Elmer's glue and written in script a bunch of stuff on what at first we see is just her top. And then she's put sparkly stuff on the glue.
Right.
So it's like in script, it says... Dallas is my favorite team. The Redskins suck. So everybody's watching this woman. Celebrity, she most resembles a fatter Jack A.
Wow.
As she's coming up, everybody's, because I mean, she's fat and this stuff is skin tight.
Yeah.
Everybody in our section is not watching the end of watching this woman. She turns around and it's almost like a sign from God. She bends over.
Oh, boy.
Now, she bends over to pick something up. Not only does she have the biggest ass in the world in spandex, she has written in script with
the glue and the sparkles. Right. On her ass, it says, Redskins fans can kiss my ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby.
I'm telling you, if she is not the single greatest character I have ever seen in a football game, my God, the round mound of sound.
Was everyone strangely attracted to her?
Yeah. All the other Dallas fans, of course, were being yelled down.
Right? I would make for my wife.
Very nice.
She could have made cheese, Mike.
Oh, I hate to keep calling Borat.
We're doing it outside, too. You can't. Once you've seen that movie, you're going to be doing it for a month.
Could have made cheese.
It's insane.
She's probably really good making bathroom.
Making toilet.
We need to break.
We do. Okay. We'll be back more of this. Wow, look at all these phone calls.
Oh.
Okay, maybe we'll take some. We'll come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Homer?
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk to you.
Dr. Phil McGraw!
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
You're right. Starting tomorrow, no bread before dinner.
Homer, don't sell me an outhouse and tell me it's the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, Homer, stop doing that.
It's time to open up a can of honesty. You're thinking about eating me right now, aren't you? Aren't you?
That's ridiculous, talking fudge.
Homer, your family's here. And you gotta help me, help them, help you, help me, help you.
Marge, I miss you. All this eating has put me in the mood for a little lovin'.
I have to be honest with you. I can't love a 4,000-ton cannibal.
What happened to for better or for worse?
Dad, you're eating Dr. Phil.
It's amazing. He tastes just like Jeffrey Tambor.
Food does not equal love!
The Don and Mike Show.
You are the rudest, most disrespectful a-hole I have ever met.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
You're in a fog. You're in a haze. Your reasoning ability, your compass is way, way off here.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Have you ever said no?
I will undress you, and you will undress me, okay?
Slut, skank, whore.
So you ever been with an old guy before?
Are you a drunk?
Did you bring condoms with you tonight?
I'm leaving you, found another woman, and oh, by the way, I never really loved you anyway.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
They don't like to brag, but they invented inventing. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, goddamn. Chris Hansen never stops giving, does he?
No. Yes, Chris Hansen.
Yeah. This portion of our show on Flash Food 1 brought to you by Radio Shack. For wireless phones and plans that are right for you. Head to your neighborhood Radio Shack.
Why didn't you call Radio Shack? How you doing?
Don't break.
How you doing? How you doing? What's up, Doc? How you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is just a taste of our world-famous Dennis and Shaq show.
One of the greatest comedy routines in the history of the business.
Right up there.
The
NBA is Earth. The NBA is white hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's then I'm kind of funny. Then there are no white players except for the big Nazi who played for the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki.
Dirk.
He's my favorite.
Hello. Dirk.
Dirk. Shaquille O'Neal and Dennis Rodman, one of our best.
Absolute quality. Pure quality.
Critics agree.
We'll put it in the suitcase for one more day. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I think I know the name of the guy that Mike met at the bar, the British guy.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's Andrew Van Jumbo from While You're Out. Is that right? Does that ring a bell?
Andrew Van Jumbo. I never got the guy's name.
Here's the thing, Mike.
He was a carpenter, right?
Yes. Yes, he is a carpenter. He's a carpenter.
Sound like a faggot, but While You Were Out is like a copycat show of Trading Places.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, maybe he should have
My wife trading. Watches it.
What's his name again?
Andrew Van Jumbo.
All right, well, if I get a picture of him, Andrew Van Jumbo. No, he was skinny. He's a thin guy.
Jumbo.
What a gay name, though.
Very.
Hi, my name is Van Jumbo. Reservation for two. The name is Van Jumbo.
But it actually would be like, hello, my name is Andrew Van Jumbo.
I forgot it was British.
Has it been canceled?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay.
I think I know who you mean.
All right, well, maybe.
Donaldo E. McGill. It's funny.
Hey, guys.
It's our names in Spanish. Hello, amigo.
Hey, I got the name for you for that, the guy that Mike bumped into.
What was his name?
His Andrew Dan Jumbo from TLC's...
Jumbo. It's Andrew Van Jumbo.
That's two in a row now.
Must be him.
Someone in the back. Hey, Buzz, you got IMDb. Would you Google him and find a picture from Mike?
Search for Van Jumbo.
Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I was driving home from work and going down Arlington Boulevard. There's a guy dressed in an elephant costume kicking over political signs in the median.
Andrew Van Jumbo.
It's Andrew Van Dumbo.
Dumbo. Thank
you. He's got a British accent.
See you later.
Well, I guess if he's dressed as an elephant, he would be kicking over Democratic signs.
Although, Yanni has raised his hand. Yanni.
I got a picture of him.
Yeah.
IMDb did not have a photo.
That means I'm done. can you bring it in, or do we have to come all the way back to your room to see it?
Let me see if I can print it.
He's from Nigeria.
No, it won't print, so yeah, you'll have
to... Was he black, Mike?
Well, wait a minute. There was another guy that we were talking to, like, all night, that was from Nigeria, and I think he might have been on the TV. I'm really, really sorry.
Carpenter, glad you were out. Andrew Dan Jumbo from Nigeria.
All right, I'll let you know if it's either one.
Donna Mike.
Damn it.
It's got to be one of them.
Yeah, I hope
I'm sure
so.
You got that detail, right?
I hope so.
Hello.
Oh, Donna Mike, how you doing?
It wasn't one of the guys from American Chopper or from...
no, it wasn't. I remember him.
You know what?
It was Jesse James.
It's the new... what's the one that I like? Is it Monster Garage that has the dad and the sons? That's the greatest...
That's Orange County Choppers.
That's maybe the greatest...
Monster Garage, Orange County Choppers.
That's maybe the greatest show on TV. I know that the season premiere is this week. I was watching one over the weekend. We don't have time to bring it up today, but anyone who's an aficionado of that show can tell me something.
That's the guy. We found a picture. That's the guy.
And who is he?
That's him.
Andrew Dan Jumbo.
Oh, so that's the guy you were getting drunk with?
No, that's the guy that I almost had a fight with at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got
that's the guy where I'd moved. He was all about his receipt.
Oh, right. I remember that. You spoke to him in your Cockney accent.
Yeah, when he was like, oh, excuse me, I'm very sorry.
Here's another picture of him.
I was kind of rude to the guy. But then I was nice to him after.
Yeah, Buzz, was he a fag? Look at that picture Buzz just pulled up of him.
That's exactly who it was, though.
Shirtless, carrying a piece of lumber.
That is the guy. Right. He was shirtless, yes. Well, we all were, as a matter of fact.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike. I'm sorry. I was going to tell Mike the same information. I'm calling down.
God, everybody likes me. Well, the show's been canceled, I think.
Thank you.
That's what he was saying.
Here's a wallpaper on it.
What was I just going to say?
You're talking about the Chopper Show, the father and son Chopper Show.
Okay, thank you very much. I was catching up on whatever the last season was, because I know the new season starts maybe tonight. I was watching the episode where they're building a bike for Bill Murray.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Here's a question for anybody who's seen it. It obviously ran last season, and I'm just getting around to watching it now. Was Bill Murray pretending to be aloof and be a dick, or was he really being aloof and being a dick?
Really?
Because if he was doing it as a gag, it wasn't coming off as a gag.
Really?
It was, because those guys, they bust balls, they yell at each other all the time. And Bill Murray, they were building him a Caddyshack motorcycle.
Oh, really?
And seemed to be disinterested, came and looked at it. It's like,
well, that's his kind of rap, and it probably wasn't going over with, because I hear he's not an a-hole.
But the thing,
he's a nice guy, really, like, over-the-top nice guy. Right.
That's what I've heard as well, but someone should watch this show, who's more of a Bill Murray aficionado than
right.
I, and tell me, was he doing his sophisticated comedy?
Right.
It was obviously over my uneducated head.
Right.
Or was he just being a jerk because he wanted his motorcycle, and he was mad it was taking them 2 days to build a goddamn fender?
Do you remember when we interviewed Jesse James out in, I think, in L.A.?
Oh, we do. We're in Vegas.
And we thought he was on the show with the two guys.
We were in Vegas.
Super Bowl in Houston.
Yeah.
Well, either way, we were somewhere.
Far away.
Yeah.
It was over a three-hour flight.
Beautiful city.
It was right. Jesse James, and we both thought that he was on Monster Garage.
And he was so pissed that we did that.
He said, you're the guy with the dad, with the mustache.
Right, because we said it's the, somebody, celebrities were walking by our little radio row, and somebody said it's the guy that has that motorcycle show. And the first 5 minutes of the interview, we're both kind of talking to him like, so you work with your son, right? Or is your dad has the big handlebar mustache.
And
I remember what he said. He said, yeah, I build bikes you can ride. Because he was kind of pissy about it.
And as he walked away, he declined your offer for an autographed photo.
You offered to give him a photo of ourselves.
Jesse James, a friend made.
Hello,
Don and Mike show. Oh, we got a break for Leroy's news. Hello. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Hey, yesterday during the Denver-Pittsburgh game, Jim Nance, I think, forgot to hit the mute button on his mic, and he cleared his throat and spit.
You know, you are the second person now to tell us that Nancy had a loogie. If anybody out there has a tape of that, please get it to us ASAP. Yeah.
Who does Nancy work with? Who's his broadcast partner?
Sim.
Could it have been Sims instead? Or was it Nancy? Are you sure it was Nancy?
Well, Phil Sims kind of sounded like he was caught off guard by it because he talked, like, really quick, and he talked, like, too soon after the loogie for it to have been him.
We're here, Azalea Line Fairways, guys.
Last call, Don and Mike. Hello.
Don and Mike, what's going on, guys?
Howdy, dude.
Hey, I got your answer for Bill Murray for that episode for OCC.
Yes.
I thought the same thing when I was watching that. He was seemed like he was coming off as a jerk, but I think that's just his comedy that he's doing with him. Because afterwards, there's a couple of scenes where he kind of gave that look to a senior like, I'm just pulling your leg.
Yeah, you know, I got that vibe, too, but like when he's in the garage talking to the numbnuts.
Right.
He really has no patience for them. And he looks in the camera and he deadpans. And again, maybe it's too dry for me.
Yeah.
He just looks mad. He's like, how long does it take to make a fender?
Does he ride the motorcycle, actually? Does he?
No, I didn't see him ride it.
Okay.
And they auctioned it off at the end for some charity.
And I don't think Bill Murray even really liked it because they did stuff like the dad's whole thing was he wanted to put a rake on the front of it.
Right.
They put all this stuff that you would find on a golf course, literally.
Yeah, because that's why Jesse James made that comment that they build motorcycles that are kind of showpieces, but they're not that rideable, and that's why he was giving them that knock.
It was kind of a crappy bike. I mean, I watched two over the weekend. I watched that one, and I watched the one with Will Smith where they made him a bike for...
Like a futuristic bike?
They made him the iRobot bike.
Yeah, the iRobot. I saw that one.
That now Will Smith came in, he was into it. And
that looked like a very rideable bike.
That looked like a kick-ass motorcycle.
Yep.
Yeah, it reminded me of your moped, as a matter of fact. Beautiful.
Got the flames on it.
Oh, we got a break because it's time for Leroy's take on the news.
Leroy!
Hi. As you know, Leroy is very excited about tomorrow's erection.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
What did Tom say?
Tomorrow's the voting.
Tomorrow's the voting.
Yeah. But we'll get the look at the upside-down world we live in.
Uh-huh. Is Tom allowed to vote?
Yes, and I think I know which way he'll vote.
Yes, because he's retired, Mike.
Retired. Very nice.
Very nice.
See, we keep quoting this goddamn movie, and if you've not seen this goddamn movie...
You have to see it. That's a required reading assignment for anybody
you
that
must go
to
see more tonight. Yeah. You must see it tonight so we can talk about it tomorrow.
Go see movie now.
Right. You go see it tonight.
I'll see it in the morning.
Okay. See it in the morning.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Okay, Leroy.
Yes.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They are ready to bump uglies for ye, Don and Mike.
All right, let's go right to Leroy Elston now. Leroy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
What's the news from the other side of the track?
I'm so glad you asked. 40% of us are going to the polls tomorrow to vote Republican if we like the way things are going, or to vote Democrat if we don't.
Do you really think 40% will vote? 40%
yeah, in fact,
of Americans?
40% is about normal. I expect it to actually be a little higher than that. I tried to err on the side of conservative.
I was reading today.
Be the first time you've done that.
Yes, it would.
We really should think about this in America. Now, I'm going to say this with the caveat that I'm not going to vote tomorrow.
Right.
So I don't give a crap. And I don't want to talk about politics, although we will, so please don't say... Don't be one of those people that complain if you don't vote.
Right. Because I wouldn't say that.
I'm a complainer and I don't vote. But I saw in Arizona that they're trying something. It's not legal. They're trying a lottery. If you vote, if you register and you vote,
right,
you get a chance to win $1 million.
Right.
Now, it seems to me that would be a way to get people involved in voting.
I think it's brilliant.
And the odds of winning the money would be better than the state-run lottery.
Yes, right. Better.
So why not? But I guess it's illegal. Now, are they doing it now in Arizona this year, Buzz? Do you know that?
I think, if I recall, I believe they're voting on the idea of implementing that program in the future, but they are considering it seriously. I've always thought they should do something like that. They should also make it a national holiday.
Yeah.
I really think they should make it a national holiday where
Good
you give
idea.
Everybody the day. I mean, everybody gets the day off.
Right.
And that's just the way it should go. But they'll never do that.
Even DJs?
Even DJs. Absolutely.
Do you want me to get you a sticker tomorrow?
What, an I voted sticker?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, so you feel good about yourself?
You feel good. I mean, it's a good sticker to wear.
No, I'll just wear a Post-it note that said I didn't vote. Okay. Anyway, I think it's a good idea to start the lottery.
Yeah. I think it's terrific, and make it more money.
I'm not serious. I'm not goofing on that.
Yeah, and I mean, make it like statewide, so each state has a chance. You get a chance to win.
What's wrong with that? You know, you got to bribe people to vote. So what? Nobody votes anyway.
Yeah. It's capitalism. You know, it's America.
Will you pay to vote? Will you pay like a dollar to get in the kitty?
No, you just vote. Once you vote, you're in the lottery.
The deal is if you take the time to register in Arizona, what they're proposing is if you take the time to register and you actually get your ass in there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the night, they're going to pull one name out of the hopper, and that person wins $1 million.
One lucky voter.
Tim Russert pulls it out.
And you know, it'll be more interesting, too, with the results, because if you have a lottery attached to it, you'll have some really dumb people voting.
Yeah,
right.
That'll make it more fun.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be new.
Mm-hmm.
Since Iraq is the number one issue for most of us, we should probably hear the military perspective. The newspapers, by and for military families, the Army Times, the Navy Times, and so on, they've published a dramatic Election Eve editorial that says, quote, Donald Rumsfeld must go. These military newspapers call on the president to fire his Secretary of Defense, something the president says he will not do. The papers say Rumsfeld has lost his credibility, that his strategy has failed, and that therefore he can no longer lead the troops. These are the newspapers and magazines that military families do read.
Hold on, here is a cut of Donald Rumsfeld from Meet the Press.
Ah.
I've done nothing wrong. They arrest anybody they want. Jews are always playing the victim. But all this time, I'm the one who's been victimized.
Would you tell him to shut up?
Mr. Carroll, shut up, please. I want to call my son.
Donald Rumsfeld. A couple of the Pentagon's strongest supporters of the war, meanwhile Richard Perle and Ken Adelman, tell Vanity Fair magazine they would not have supported the war if they'd known how incompetently the administration would handle it.
Boy, oh boy, would I love to give her a present.
A necklace?
Yes, his wife.
Ah, Mrs. Perle.
The lovely Perle necklace.
Mr. Perle now says he was told the magazine would not publish his comments until after the election. But even a magazine started by Pat Robertson has called on the current Republican leadership to step aside.
I like him.
Quoting, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, he makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense.
Well, quoting
you know, he has a direct line to God.
He's got
God on his speed dial.
I wonder if he speaks in tongues.
Quoting the American conservative, we think a no vote on the Bush presidency is important for the health of the nation, end quote. It's this loss of conservative support that has the president campaigning only in red states this time, trying to salvage what's left of his political base. But there's nothing like a good old-fashioned hanging to lighten the mood. For the president and his remaining supporters, it's a sign of progress in Iraq. And while you may see dancing in the streets of Baghdad, the pre-election sentencing of Saddam Hussein is just dividing Iraq more sharply. Saddam and six of his men were convicted and sentenced yesterday for the 1982 killings of 148 people in a Shiite village because there'd been an attempt on his own life in that village. Neither the verdict nor the sentence nor the timing of any of it surprised anybody, but President Bush called it a major milestone for democracy in Iraq, and the Republicans ticked upward a bit in the polls.
I got to get some rope before Kerry gets home.
To lighten the mood?
Well, you know anything.
Hang him high.
I'm freaking tired of hearing about the
Sunnis and the Shiites.
Come on.
Sunnis hate the Shiites and the Shiites. Hate the Sunnis, and
why can't we all
hate
the I like one of them, Sunni Jurgensen.
You know, why don't we just, you know, put
I like that DJ Sunni Fox.
I'll just put him in Afghanistan, let God sort him out. That's what I say.
It may end up that way.
Hey, this reminder tonight on WJFK. I did want to plug our good friend,
yes.
Albie VD. Albie VD was on the show a couple of weeks ago after he got canned from the top 40 station in town, unceremoniously, I might add.
That's right.
Tonight, good move by management. Good move.
Very good.
Al BD is going to get a chance of doing some talk radio tonight. So if you're here in D.C. on WJFK at 8 o'clock, I know that we badmouth, in particular, the running of this station, really, which is just, these guys are just horses' asses.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, they lucked into a good move. Give Al B a listen tonight. I bet he kicks some ass.
Right after Penn, 8 o'clock.
Good stuff.
Hitler, marijuana, and more preparation for tomorrow when we return.
That's my bunker. I'm so wasted. Dude. Hitler and pot.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Just two of the topics coming up.
Mr. Hitler. Write that on the board for everyone.
Mr. Hitler. All right. Fantastic. Who ordered the pizza? Right here, dude.
Right here, dude. It's Hitler.
Hitler.
Hitler. And really, I mean, for another day we can have this discussion. Why is it that Hitler is the one name I mean, you can throw out just about any bad guy, and there's been tons of them through.
Sure, Stalin, Noriega, all the bad guys.
Hitler's the one, man. I mean, not to say that, you know, he's a great guy, but I mean, he's the one. That's the name that stops traffic.
King of the bad guys.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Top of the murder chain.
Right.
That's very clever, Rob.
Scared kids?
Why do I think you've got a poster that says that somewhere in your house?
Throw a touchdown, stop!
Come on now. Where's Eva Braun? Baby, it's a print. It's a recreation.
We need to break?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Leroy.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, right back to Leroy.
All things equal, they prefer dog vomit. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right. Print it. Here's Leroy.
Take it upstairs to the fat man.
Hi, Don and Mike. So where we left off, Saddam sentenced to hang. The Republicans ticking upward a bit in the polls here, but apparently not enough to keep him from losing control of the House for the first time in a dozen years.
House.
Who will control the Senate is still anybody's guess.
House, but I'll tell you, House, H-O-U-S.
House.
He's the craziest doctor, because what he does is he says to his patients, are you going to die?
Huh?
I laugh at that. Now I'm going to take your pills. And look at me, I walk with a limp.
Oh, do you see the promo for the one this week?
I did. He looks really mean, doesn't he?
Oh, man, a big fat guy on House.
I would never go to this doctor, for he walks with a cane.
Oh, very dangerous.
Dr. House, what's wrong with your legs?
He is flawed.
Why doesn't he shave?
He is a flawed man, and he is not a good doctor.
We'll get to that in a minute. Quoting a Republican pollster, it's the worst political environment for Republican candidates since Watergate. Quoting a former right-hand man of Newt Gingrich, it's very grim. Things are dreadful out there. Quoting a veteran Republican strategist here in Virginia, there's no question we're going to take a hit. The Democrats also appear to have the advantage in the governor's races also for the first time in 12 years.
We're going to take a hit.
Now, the campaign ads have gotten nasty even when there's no candidate on either side. In Colorado, where they're voting on legalizing marijuana, a pro-pot group is running an ad that features the president and the vice president. The ad points to allegations that President Bush once drunkenly challenged his dad to a fight, and points out that Dick Cheney shot a guy after having a beer. With Cheney's face on the screen, the caption reads, shot his friend in the face after drinking, just one more reason to vote yes on 44. 57% of Colorado's voters, however, plan to vote no on 44. By the way, after voting, Vice President Cheney plans to go hunting tomorrow. And this time, he's taking his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
The big lasso?
Yeah, it's his first outing with a gun since shooting his friend. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my God.
Oh, here's a tape of his daughter.
Oh, hi there.
There she is.
She's a lovely gal.
Now to Rob's topic. He just mentioned a moment ago that Dr. House is flawed. Well, the children selected by Hitler for the purpose of creating a blonde, blue-eyed master race met publicly for the first time as adults over the weekend.
Hi.
These products of the Nazis' Font of Life project met in Germany to talk about their ordeal.
It really wasn't a project as much as it was a study.
Were you on the telephone for this, or were you video conferenced them?
I sent my people over.
Many of them were illegitimate children who were placed in Nazi foster homes, but many were kidnapped from their real parents simply because of their physical characteristics.
Bad enough to be in foster care, but a Nazi foster home? That's the worst.
For years...
Hey, you wake up that again! I am not your father!
They always eat dinner on time. For years, thousands of these kids either didn't know about their past or were too ashamed to discuss it in public.
Oh, Papa, I do not want to have to see Dr. House again.
Oh, no, he's got the cane and the beer. Don't trust him, he is flawed.
Life became more difficult for them as being a Nazi became less popular in Germany after the war, and they say they were ridiculed for being the products of a stud farm, when in many cases they weren't.
A stud farm?
It was bad, just not concentration camp bad.
This is the good semen.
Ask men what chlamydia is, and you'll get some surprising answers.
I'll tell you what it is. Goddamn itchy.
Sex news after the break.
Oh, all right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
So you ever been with an old guy before?
Not
gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
I will have to get some lubricant, too.
Get ready for Ding Dong and Goat Screw, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I think you probably have a very nice ass as well.
Very nice.
And once again, here is Leroy.
Hi, Leroy. Hi, Don and Mike. Finally, another breakthrough in sex technology. A South African inventor says the struggle factor keeps a lot of men from using condoms. He claims to have created a condom that's so easy to use it won't spoil the moment.
Ooh.
Really?
When you're in the zone, grip the two sides of the package and snap it open. Then,
did you bring condoms with you tonight?
Then draw the two sides of the package toward you and voila, it's on. It takes as little as 1 second and any moron can do it. And judging from this study, a lot of us are morons.
I can't figure it out.
Over 1,000 American men were asked about the most common sexually transmitted disease in this country, chlamydia. Most of the people who have it don't know it, and having it makes you 5 times more susceptible to catching the AIDS virus. In this survey, guys were asked, what is chlamydia?
Pain in the ass, no pun intended.
Three percent of them said it's the name of a Turkish spa resort.
I tell you where I got it. I got a big patch right under my left underarm.
Well, you're not
very nice.
Not doing it right.
Boy, it's just
very nice.
And it itches.
10% of the men interviewed, 100 of these 1,000 men said that chlamydia, in their minds, is a kind of flower. And what card would you like to send with your chlamydia, sir? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, Buzz, we're just sorry today. We're not sorry that we're out of time.
Sorry, we're out of time.
All right, Leroy, thank you for the news. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, for the Big Erection Show.
Oh, yeah.
A good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Talk.
My condom fell off. I can't work it at all.
Very nice. Gotta go run.
This is the Don and Mike Show.